Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good evening to all of you out here in Radio Land. You welcome to the Cricket Show. Hope the weather is fine as I am experiencing some perfect weather conditions and wherever you may be. We thank all of those who have been with us. And we pray that this show will go on without any interruptions. And we do have two special guests this evening. I'm just going to turn it over to Dennis to introduce these two wonderful gentlemen. Dennis, over to you.
Thank you, Leon. Good afternoon out there in Radio Land. You hear the music? And we know it's time for the cricket show. Today we have two guests who will help us to kick off the start of our show. One day after the historic victory of the San Diego Padres baseball team, defeating arch rival Los Angeles Dodgers to reach the baseball playoff championship series. I am happy to welcome part owners of the San Diego Surf Riders minor league cricket team. We have Jimmy Ancelsaria, cricketer, radio commentator, entrepreneur, professor, author, and philanthropist. On the other phone, we have Dr. Gangaram Singh, cricketer, cricket club administrator. Dr. Singh hails from the same Guyanese village, West Indies former test cricketer, Colin Croft and Shivnarin Chandrapal. Dr. Singh is also a dedicated academic and was a dean at the San Diego State University Business School, also was provost at the National University in San Diego. Gentlemen, welcome. Please say hi to our listeners and our guests.
Jimmy, hello, and Dennis. Thank you. And hello, everybody. Pleasure to be here.
Hi, Leon. Thank you for having us on the show again.
Indeed.
All right. We know that time is very busy and critical, and so we're really delighted that you've been able to spare us, 30 to 40 minutes of your time to be with us on the show. So let me kick off by asking you, the last time you were both our guests on the cricket show, it was at the end of year one for your minor league team, the San Diego Surf Riders. We have now completed the end of season two. Can you tell us how the Surf Riders season went in year two?
You'd like me
Jimmy,
to go, G, or you want to go?
Sure.
I'll happily do it. I saw a lot of the games. To all the listeners there, I'd say if I were to summarize the season of 2022, it would be a season of ifs, ands, or buts. And the beautiful thing about that is that's what 2020 is all about. If you looked at the actual position, we may not have done as well as perhaps the games showed. But, it's one of those things, Dennis, where, if you look at the record and then look at the games, there was a game that we lost to, for example, the Seattle Thunderbolts, who ran on to be the champion team. And we lost on the last ball, conceding, I think, two runs on that last ball. But more than that is the fact that, we were in the driver's seat. And, as I said, ifs, ands, or buts. If only one of our young, players had not conceded 19 runs in two balls. If only one of our veteran players had taken a catch in the death overs. If only this and if only that. On the other hand, there was a game where, we needed a six of the last ball or second last ball. And, one of our players, from Canada, actually, fantastic player, Nicol, slams a ball going straight into the fence for six. And out of the blue, fantastic catch taken on the boundary. So that's what cricket's all about. But overall, I'd say as owners, we are extremely pleased with the team. They gelled as a unit. It's a young team. We are building. They put up unbelievable fights against the best of the best. And as I said, it could have been three or four more games our way, which would have put us up in the third or fourth ranking. But overall, a fantastic season. And we're really looking to building on this for 2023.
Thank you. Does Dr. Singh have anything you want to add to that, or should we just move on?
No, I think, you know, cricket and building a team is a process. And, you know, you have to look at the short-term gains, but also look at what it is that you're trying to achieve in the long run. And so Surf Rider has always been and will always be a club, a franchise, call it a business, that will look out for the game. And so what we are looking for isn't necessarily a win in every game, but it's about building the basic ingredients that will make a good team in the long run. You know, it's the building to last, right, and to make sure that we gain a reputation and that we build cricketers and cricket that will be a model in the future. So it's not about always about short-term wins. Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you. Will the Surf Riders participate in 2023 Minor League Championship?
Yes.
Gee, well, you know, of course we will.
Yeah.
We're there for the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what, though, what is more interesting or a more important question at this stage is how will Major League Cricket and Minor League Cricket interact in the future? And if you have that as one of your questions later on, we can tackle that. But
yes,
I'll wait for that opportunity.
Yeah. So moving on, do you visualize any change to the team or administratively any changes at all for your franchise for next season?
Jimmy?
Well, actually, the people to ask, you know, we've spread our assignments and responsibilities of the ownership among ourselves, and the two people who are responsible for the team, Ram and Raj, both of whom you know very well, Dennis, are not here, so I don't want to second guess them. But overall, like any franchise, any team, there will be changes. But, you know, we try not to do clean sweeps. We do build for the future. And I think Dr. Singh gave you that very, very clear, you know, goal of ours is to build for the future. So, yes, of course, then, you know, you have to beef up the team. We found ourselves lacking in some what I'd call high quality. I believe all our players are quality players, every single one of them. But we lacked the number of high-quality players that some of the other teams had, and so they had a lot more depth, and we were depending a lot more on younger local players. And I still think that they have a role to play, but I think with some judicious selection, we'll be able to bring in, and I think a lot of players want to play for San Diego only because of our culture, and we've been, you know, commended on it, and I hope we live up to it next year as well. Dennis?
Thank you, Jimmy. For the second year of the Minor League Championship, a team from your division won the prized championship. What does that say about your division here on the West Coast?
Well, Dennis, it's not only this year, but last year too. The Strikers were the champion last year, and, you know, the Thunderbolts were the champion this year. So we are in a very competitive division. The West Coast of the United States is actually very organized when it comes to cricket. If you think, for example, about the Bay Area, you have, you know, thousands of kids participating. You have hundreds of teams participating. And so I think the ecosystem in places like Morrisville, the Dallas area, and Sandy, and California, the Bay Area, now Seattle, you know, it's growing very much. And I think it will continue to be competitive. Jimmy, but you have watched some of the games. You should be able went on the inter sort of league games a whole lot more.
No, I think you're right. You know, I would put it down to facilities. It's not like others don't have the facilities, but I think the West Coast in particular have, not just in the last couple of years due to minor league, they've always had very good facilities, and particularly in California, Southern California, Northern California, the weather is certainly conducive to year-round cricket, and that's built a fantastic pipeline. But also I think, you know, it's not like I want to get into any political discussion, but I think the West Coast teams have been able to attract a lot of what I call the high-quality players. Now, whether that's because they have more academies and the players are coming in as player coaches, which puts them in a different category versus other places where they do not have these the luxury of large academies, they have to depend on the rules of bringing in players as marquee players or wildcard players. So I think overall it's the selection, the open selection of the West Coast, the underlying academies that they have, and overall I'd say, you know, the facilities are very, very conducive to good cricket. So it'll be hard to beat the teams in the West, particularly in the Bay Area and Seattle.
So Dennis? Is it fair to say, yes, thank you, Jimmy. Is it fair to say that the more experienced international players are available, but that some clubs have a little more, shall we say, ability to attract those players as opposed to, say, the Surf Riders?
That would be a statement, right? Let Gangaram answer that one.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it is the when minor league was put in place to assure competitive advantage, there was a system, a pay rate system that was put in place, like most other professional sports. But there were many ways that you could supplement the salary of a particular player, and that's what Jimmy's talking about. You know, if a player is coming here to play only for the season, then, you know, there are certain rules that we have to follow. But if they come here, if they're coming here on a contract with, let's say, the central organization, then they can be placed into a club around a franchise around the country. If, you know, that franchise has additional ways of maintaining that player, such as Jimmy said, an academy or some other mechanism. So I think, you know, the teams that have an infrastructure and an ecosystem will continue to do well. And this is not actually something that is unique to minor league cricket. This is something that sports has been doing for quite a while. Even you mentioned the Padres winning, right? I remember there, Dennis, I had the opportunity to visit the academy, the Padres Academy in the Dominican Republic in Ohio. And, you know, this was 15 years ago, and they were prepping at that time. They were creating a feeder system to sort of make sure that they would get into this particular situation, this playoff. So I think that is going to be critical as we move forward.
Thank you so much for that. Looking forward, and academy is very important. Let me just pause for 1 second and ask my co-host Leon if he would just bring in our other guests who require us to call them in while I put the next question to our guests.
Okay. Yeah, let me just quickly say good evening to Jimmy and to Dr. Singh. I'm Leon Francis. And we have some more guests that are supposed to be on our... Some members of the panel as well will be on a little later on. But let me just continue with the questioning, Dennis, because this question is particularly directed to Dr. Singh. Because Bruce Pardew, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he is from Guyana, and he passed on this week. How do you remember him if you have knowledge of him? Can you tell our listeners? Bruce Pardew.
No, I am actually not. Sorry about that. Can you tell me a little bit? Maybe juggle my memory.
Yes, he was born in Guyana. He played for the West Indies.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through. Will you please try your call again?
Apologies, gentlemen.
Yes, as you were. Yes.
Go ahead, John.
He played for the West Indies, and he made a test century on his debut. And he went over to play for New Zealand, and he was helpful to his team.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through. Will you please try your call again?
One of our callers didn't go through. Okay, are you here? You guys are hearing me?
Yes,
we're hearing you loud and clear.
Yes, I don't know who is it. Someone is trying to get in, but it can't get in. But nevertheless, we just continue. Yes, so this gentleman, he was a special, and he passed away early this week. And we here at the Cricket Show just liked it to offer sympathies to all who are mourning his loss. He was a great man. I think he was a wicketkeeper for Guyana as well. And he passed on this week, and he also went over to fly straight over in New Zealand.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yes, our sympathy.
Bruce Paradeau, P-A-I-R-A-U-D-E-A-U.
I might just add for Dr. Singh that this was in the era of the 1950s, so it's probably a little bit before your time and mine.
Thanks for aging me.
But can I just pop back into the questions
ahead,
that I have? Dr. Singh and Jimmy, 2023 was promoted as the year for the major league season to start. Is this still the expectation? And what and how will this marriage, if you like, or this competition influence or occur with the minor and the major league next year?
Go ahead, G.
Yes, no, I think this is an exciting development. Yes, it's still stated, it's the Major League is still scheduled to start in 2023. The strategy is to make sure that the tournaments do not conflict with one another. In fact, it's a massive sort of attempt right now to make sure that cricket calendars are coordinated. The concept is 6 to 8 teams across the nation, and some of the players from minor league will, of course, endorse to play in the major league. But at that stage, I think you're going to see some of the international talent that you're talking about, Dennis, come to the United States because it's going to be fewer teams. The competition is going to be very competitive. And, you know, there's investment in the major league franchise.
Yeah, okay.
And so you're going to see a higher level of competition at the major league level, but that will also create hunger among the minor league players and the minor league teams to make sure that they get a spot on major league. So I think by elevating 8 teams to a world-class standard, you will see the level of cricket go up, and they will coexist, because they'll be at different times of the year. Jimmy?
Yes.
Yeah, what they're going to do this, from what best of my understanding here, is they're going to play half the season of minor league. They're going to stop that season, play the whole major league, and then complete the minor league. So you're going to see, in my opinion, I think you're going to see a lot of very, very high-quality players who are going to come in, who are planning to play major league, are going to come in and join the minor league teams as a little warm-up to the major league. So I think it's going to help all around. The minor league level is going to go up, major league, obviously. We're waiting with a bated breath on this. And it'll complete off with the minor league finishing the season. So we're going to have a lot of good cricket. And in addition to all of that, there is a lot of cricket happening in the United States all over. There's so many tournaments, and it's just fascinating to see how fast cricket is growing in this country.
So, thank you. Do you have any idea or expectation of the number of franchises that would be available as a major league franchise?
Between 6 to 8 is what I've heard.
It's regionally based?
Yeah, they're based across the country, you know. Of course, New York, Miami, North Carolina, Seattle, the Orange County area. You know, they spread it out across the nation.
All right. And
it will probably be related to where we have circuit and stadium, right? I mean, that will drive where these franchises will go.
Okay. That means that perhaps we won't get a major league franchise in San Diego, but maybe in L.A.?
In Orange County, there's one slated. I mean, that was in the news. There's one for the Orange County area, and that was already announced. So.
But I think
that's going to be called the Los Angeles Knight Riders. You know, after the Kolkata Knight Riders, the Los Angeles Knight Riders will be the Southern California team.
Okay, thank you so much for that news. What I had read somewhere that there was some issue with the proposed stadium for Orange County. I don't know whether that might have any issue with the Major League franchise developing there, but that's for perhaps another show. The 2022 T20 World Cup Championship is just getting underway. But what I'll do is I'll ask Leon to you know, take over at this point and get your insights on the T2022 World Championship.
Yeah, once again, let me say thanks for both Jimmy and Dr. Singh to be on our show this evening. Yeah, delighted to have you both. We do have some of our panelists on, so we'd like for you to say hello to, is it Mertrich, Nisbet, and Donna Brown, if you both could say hello to them. They have a question, we just pose it to them. But Dr. Singh and Jimmy, how is the situation with the USA financial difficulty affecting, or will it be affecting the major league or minor league?
So let me take that question, Leon. You know, USA Cricket is our national body. They're affiliated to the ICC. Minor league and major league cricket are actually privately run, and so they're run by a company called ACE, the American Cricket Enterprise. So the two entities are loosely affiliated in that ACE, or Major League Cricket, has a contract with USA Cricket to run the tournaments that are below 5 hours, which is predominantly T20. And so I think they're working out, you know, their relationships, and I am very hopeful that USA Cricket will turn around the situation now. You know, Dr. Rai has just taken over as chair of the board, and I am hoping that he'll put, I've known him for a while, and I'm hoping that he would put some rules in place so that the reporting relationships to the ICC are put back in place and that we'll be back on track. So there is some good news there.
Yes, good news. Okay. And so how would it affect me? Would the USA Cricket under Dr. Rai would be responsible for the administration, in a sense, you know?
Yeah, that's our national body, right? And they're affiliated with the ICC. The ICC provides funding to the country, and that's where the previous administration apparently had some issues reporting in a timely manner. And so Dr. Rai and the new board is working to restore the reporting relationship so that we can be back on track.
But they wouldn't be responsible for handling anything of the administrative portion of it, no funding.
The USA Cricket will continue to take care of their funding, but the minor league and major league are private tournaments.
Private.
It's sort of like, you know, when in the Caribbean we have the West Indies Cricket Board,
CPL.
And we have private, exactly, you have the CPL.
Yeah, okay.
That's the comparison there, and those are run by a franchise. They're affiliated with the West Indies Cricket Board, but they have their own operational budget.
So my understanding is that is it that they won't be able to issue to rectify a tournament? Like say you have a tournament, the USA Cricket won't have that authority anymore to authorize and sanction bodies. They do? Okay.
They do. They are our national body. They ran into some difficulty, if I'm reading the document correctly. They ran into some reporting difficulties, and they're trying to fix that. But they're not. I am very hopeful, and in fact, I'm not hopeful. I'm confident they'll get out of it.
Amen. This next question pertains to the World Cup. Of course, you guys knew it started last night, and what an upset Sri Lanka went down. Can you both give us your take on how you look at that loss by Sri Lanka and the overall tournament as a whole? What does it mean to you, and how excited are you for the start of this?
Okay, sure. I'll go first on this one. Leon and all the listeners here, I think anyone who follows T20 would know that anyone can beat anyone on a given day. If you are a good cricketer, if you are able to have a wonderful day on a specific day, a couple of people can take a team to victory, and that's kind of what happened with Namibia. I think this is going to be, I'm not predicting anything because I don't think anyone can predict who would win this tournament, because as you can see, even the weak can take down the Goliaths of the world here. So it's going to be who has a good day. And within that team, my personal, prediction is the team that comes together and plays as one is going to win this tournament. It's not about the superstars in each team, because as we all know, the superstars can get golden ducks. The superstars can be hit for 50 runs in 4 overs. And all it takes is a couple of gritty people. So it's going to be real exciting. I'm looking forward myself to go down to Australia to watch the semifinals in Sydney and the finals in Melbourne. And I'm just delighted to see, the fact that it's literally an open race. I wouldn't put it past the West Indies. I wouldn't put it past, Afghanistan. So it's not all the, of course, if you ask me on balance and things like this, yes, England does seem to have a very balanced side. But again, anyone can take them down.
So would you both want to put your neck on the block to say who would be the final four of the tournament before it even begins in
I'm going to say take out a dartboard, put 12 teams up there and throw the darts, and you'll see four of them open. It's anyone. It's anyone. Let's see. Gangaram probably has a little bit more fun.
I don't want to predict, but I think I'd like to see England, New Zealand, Pakistan, and Australia in the finals, in the semifinals.
Yeah.
I like West Indies, I like India, I like the other countries too, but I think at this stage, the best thing that can happen to cricket is a combination of wealth, of talent, of a very different sort of combinations, because cricket needs right now, some soul, right? And so I think the more we can inject, some competition. It's great that Namibia, I think that's good for cricket, right? That Namibia beat Sri Lanka yesterday. I was disappointed that Shimran, I know we have a lot of West Indian listeners here, disappointed that Hetmyer didn't make it on the plane to go. That's a lesson, right? West Indies has been lagging behind for disciplinary reasons, right? And you're telling me you're picked for the World Cup and you don't make it to the plane in time to go. That's acceptable. And so I think what I'm trying to get at is that what we need is a revival, and for all of us and the cricketing countries to sort of reflect on where the game is going and how do we get it back to its face values, but at the same time capitalize on the modern things that are happening, right? So I have a very, I think I have a wish in terms of who I want to be in, but as Jimmy mm-hmm. said, it's a random thing at the end of the day.
Right, gentlemen, we have a number of talented cricketers. Would you want to tell us who are the ones that you are looking forward to see and excel in this tournament?
Well, that's a good question. And I think personally, based on what I've followed, we're going to see a bunch of new stars emerging. You know, we all look at the typical, you know, stars of the past. But I think, you know, there are lots of teams with new stars. If I were to start with a place like India, where there's 1.2 billion people cheering the team on, it's not about the Rohit Sharmas and Virat Kohlis. I think it's now the time for people like Surya Kumar Yadav. You know, they are young. They are fantastic players. They're going to emerge in this. In England, you know, Alec Hale's playing beautifully. So it's not all about Joss Butler and others. So each team, I look at even Australia, Cameron Green has come out as a star, and he wasn't even supposed to be in the team. So so I think this is going to be a place where we're going to see the emergence of new stars, and I'm personally very excited about that because you know, there is so much talent in the game of cricket. And fans only seem to follow what we call the superstars. But many of the superstars, I think, are past their prime, and it'll be great to see a revival, just like we've seen it in tennis, where, you know, young stars are beginning to show and shine. So that's my wish. I'm looking to see new stars, and I particularly would like to see some of the new stars emerging from less wealthy countries like Afghanistan and Namibia and places like that. That would be so healthy and good for cricket.
Dr. Singh, you would like to add on that?
Yeah, no, I am a little bit, again, here I have my favorite cricketer. I like Ben Stokes a lot, not only because of his cricketing ability, but his, you know, the way that he handled his adversities, you know, the David Miller, you know, the way that they tackled personal challenges and they rise above it. They didn't let it affect who they are. I just like cricketers who are willing to not be passive bystanders. You know, when they see something, they stand up to it. I like cricket for that reason. You know, it's the game is all about fairness at the end of the day. And so anytime I spot a cricketer or I see somebody with those cricket values, I elevate them, even if they're not the best cricketers, because it's a balance for me at the end of the day. And so I root for people with good character, and I root for cricketers who don't necessarily see themselves as the center of attention.
I think Dennis wanted to come in. Dennis?
Fully agree.
Well, I wanted to say thank you, Leon. Wanted to say I know that Dr. Singh and Jimmy has other appointments and they must be off in the next few minutes, but I mm-hmm. might want to ask one final question before I let them go, and that is, we see a preponderance of new IPL-style T20 leagues being developed around the world in different parts, different places. Is this growth good for cricket, or is it likely to cause some type of, shall we say, destruction of things like the traditional tests or one-day game? How do you see that?
That's a heavy question. that's a heavy question that has weighed on me for years now, since T20 was actually brought on board. In fact, let me tackle it. I think it's been good for cricket. T20 generally has been good for cricket. It provides an income for a large number of people. It's not only 11 people that represent the country anymore. You know, different formats have different people. You know, some of our stars in the West Indies, for example, would have never made a 2020 team, right? And some of them would have excelled. They would have made it in any T20 team any day, right? But some of our finer cricketers wouldn't have made it in the Chandra Pauls of the world, the Larry Holmes and so on and so forth. So I think it has done well for the game because it provided more opportunities. The question that you're asking, though, I think is a critical one. And again, it goes back to the mm-hmm. opening question for me, and that is the ecosystem. You know, if you can't bat straight, you're probably not going to be good at T20. You have to know how to bat. And the way that you learn how to bat, at least in my opinion, is to buckle up, right? And go through the process of playing a shot properly, and then you can improvise later on. And I think that part, where I think the destruction that you're talking about, Dennis, will come in, is where countries such as the United States jump straight to the T20 version, right? And they skip. In fact, if you look at it right now, our 50-over game is neglected at the national level. We have no national tournament when it comes to the longer version. And I would be one to advocate for a 3-day version of cricket in the United States too, you know, because I think you need that entire ecosystem. And cricketers come in all shapes and forms, and good cricketers play test cricket, good cricketers play one-day cricket, and good cricketers play T20 cricket. But if you don't have it in the infrastructure where somebody can excel in the longer version, you've taken away that format of the game. And so I think we need to look at it from an ecosystem perspective as opposed to which one is better or which one is not going to last.
Just one question here before you guys go. Just one question. Let me just follow up on this because a question came to my mind. Would you both, if you were responsible for selecting the West Indies side, would you have included Cornwall in your lineup, in your squad?
Go, Jimmy. You take that one. You're selected.
Well, I wouldn't. Number one, I'm clearly it's above my pay grade to determine that. Our good friend Desi Haynes is far better off, and he knows what he's doing. But you see, Cornwall.
Well, let's assume that you were in his position.
Yeah, well, if I was in Desi's position, I mean, you know, number one, there's a difference, everybody, when you hit a couple of hundred runs in a certain level of cricket, and then you go up against Pat Cummins and others. You know, it's a different game altogether.
Right.
Secondly. This game is not just about batting and hitting some sixes or even bowling and taking a few wickets. It's an all-round game. And I'm a strong believer in the much neglected part of cricket, which is, in my opinion, equally, if not more important than the other, and that is fielding. So you've got to have people who are fast, who can stop, who can leap into the air and take a catch on the boundary, who can stop a four or a six and concede maybe one run. And so it's more than that. And I think, he's a lovely person. I love watching him crack that ball. But I think it's in a different league when you play, you know, some genuinely quick. A couple of other things that listening to Gangaram, and Dennis, your question about the number of cricket games, et cetera. I think the answer is it's here to stay. 2020 is here to stay. I'm a traditionalist. I've always been a test follower, and I think I'm now resigned to the fact that T20 is the future of cricket, and I know some people may not like it, but I'm not saying it just as a cricketer or a cricket lover. I'm saying this as someone who really is excited about the opportunities, and Gangaram addressed that, you know. There are so many people who would never have dreamt of making a career, financial career, from playing cricket, you know, from our, let's call it the old days. Secondly, what's happened is it's with the advent of T20 and particularly the number of leagues. You see, we talk about the big IPLs and things like that, but at local levels, there is so much of cricket where people are coming in from around the world to play, even in local cricket in India, for example, or the West Indies or Australia. So what is happening is it's not just cricketers who now can earn a living, but the amount of jobs that are being created for everyone from caterers to bowling and batting coaches and physiotherapists and people who are helping with the team. So each team is not 18 or 20 players. It's about 100 people. And over again, you know, you see how things have improved. In my own field of radio broadcasting or television broadcasting, the opportunities for people, not everyone is going to be following the Ravi Shastris and Gavaskars and people like that, because there are so many commentators now who can go around the world and get paid even a $500 for a game. To really date myself, I used to get paid $20 for a whole day of broadcasting in the 70s. Okay? So $20 in a three-day match, I used to be very proud of getting $60, which barely paid, for your transportation. But the important thing is today it has created an economic system as much as what we call the ecosystem. It's a full-blown economic system, and I couldn't be happier for those who may not have been talented enough to play the big game but still could earn a very decent living doing what they love and, continuing to be passionate about that job that they have. So I'm very happy to see the proliferation of cricket all over the world. And for those who can't keep the pace, well, don't play all three formats or don't play in every part of the world. You know, it's a free market, and if you can play 250 days, good on you.
You know, I think to follow up on what Jimmy just said, players will choose, right, to a large degree. You see, I admire the Australians who didn't play the T20 format and they didn't take any of these contracts. They said they were going to make a choice to play for their country, and whether it resulted in cash or not, that's what they wanted. And I think once we have the format there, eventually people will select where they want to excel at. But if we let the other formats of the game, the longer format, the one day and the test cricket go away, we won't give those people that opportunity. I think there's enough cricketers out there for every format.
Exactly.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I just want to welcome Virgil. Virgil Francis is on with us, Dennis. So I don't know if you want to hear the gist of this conversation with Jimmy and Dr. Singh, but just want to say hello to you.
Well,
go ahead.
Dr. Singh and Dr. and Jimmy has agreed to stay with us for 40 minutes, mm-hmm. and I think we are at the end of our agreed time slot, so unless
mm-hmm.
they are able to extend it, I would like to take this opportunity to thank them profusely for giving us of their time, insights, and of course their wonderful experience that they have had in cricket over the years. So thank you both, gentlemen, and we do look forward to having you back again at another time, maybe before the season starts next year, or after the World Cup is completed, when you can feel compelled to tell us of your predictions back then.
Let me thank you and Leon. Like, I have to say this. The patience that you've shown in terms of broadcasting this show and focusing on cricket is exceptional. And so anytime you invite me to participate, and Jimmy is the same thing, to participate in the show, we will come. But don't thank us. Thank yourself, because the fact that you dedicatedly run running this show is a testament of your passion for the game, and that's important as we go forward. So thank you. Not us. We were guests. You're the one that we should be thanking in this situation.
We are very
absolutely
grateful for the compliment, and of course, you see, we love the game. It's our passion, and
absolutely.
I tell you, we put aside this time each year for the last each week for the last 12 years to make sure that our fans are educated about what is happening around the world in cricket. And
if I had your patience, I would be a good batsman.
Run that by me again? Run that by me.
I said if I had your patience to stick around for so long, I might be a batsman.
Oh, well, it's not too late. Not too late now, though.
Thank you.
I want you to hear from Virgil. If you have 2 minutes, Virgil is one of our favorite and passionate listeners. Virgil, come on in, Dr. Singh, and Jimmy's on. Just say hello to them.
Yes.
Hi, Virgil.
Virgil, he's not on. His phone is on, but he's probably not listening. Okay, gentlemen, we thank you guys so much. And it's a joy and a pleasure, a privilege to have you on. We enjoy hearing from you both. Just let this be your home. Anytime you have no way to live, just come here every Sunday evening and you'll make sure you have a cricket home.
Thank you. Thank you
very much.
To replay your message,
you.
Press 1.
Bye-bye.
To re-record Bye-bye. Your message, press 2. To send...
Okay, Leon.
Dennis, we are back to regular scheduled programming. Go ahead and let me see if I can get Audley back in again. He came in and he's going to voicemail, so we had to make sure we get him back again. Oh, in the meantime, let's say hello to Donna, and Murchis has dropped, so let's see if Donna is on, that she can speak to us. Good evening to you, Donna. Okay. No
good answer. Evening.
Good evening.
All right. Good evening, Donna.
Good evening.
All right, Leon. At 8 o'clock, we will do the Walter Henry birthday anniversary hour, as we had these special guests. So we're hoping to bring Audley in a minute. So, Dennis, why don't you continue with it as I make contact with Audley.
All right. So we have several items we will continue with until Leon gets back. We have the... Donna, you were saying something? Was that... Did I miss something there? No, okay.
No.
All right, ICC News. Now, this is really interesting news here. We have ICC has reported that they've banned a player from all cricket for 14 years after an ICC anti-corruption tribunal found him guilty of 7 breaches of the ICC and the Cricket Canada anti-corruption codes. The breaches are related to matches in the Zimbabwe versus UAE series from April 2019 and matches in the GT20 in Canada in 2019. Mr. Chayakar's offense are linked to the previous cases of former UAE players Kadir Khan and Ghulam Shabir. Kadir and Shabir accepted sanctions and admitted breaches of the ICC anti-corruption code relating to approaches they received from Mr. Chayakar. Copies of the agreed sanction decisions in both cases can be found at the ICC website. Mr. Kadir received a 5-year ban and Mr. Shabir received a 4-year ban, and Mr. Chayakar received a 14-year ban. Now, this is obviously just to underline the report. It's simply that cricket, the amount of money in cricket these days is increasing, and of course there are always those who will seek to take advantage and attempt to make illegal gains. And this report simply notates the fact that 3 players who participated in such a scheme has been caught and they have been punished by being banned from the game for 14 years. Okay. Last week, we mentioned the player of the month for September who were nominated. The men's group were Cameron Green of Australia, Akshar Patel of India, and in the women's group we had Harmarpreet Kaur, Smriti Mandhana, and Nijar Sultana. Well, the votes are in, and the players voted player of the month of September in the males category was Mohammad Rizwan of Pakistan. He received the award, and on the female side, Harmanpreet Kaur was the voted player of the month for September. In other news, USA Cricket news, we have the USA Cricket news about the financial situation that Leon mentioned earlier with our guest. On July the 12th in 2022, that's a few months ago, Peter Della Penna reported that a USA Cricket committee member had criticized the board, the USA Cricket board, USA Cricket, for financial governance issues. Back then, a statement released by USA Cricket essentially downplayed and claimed minor administrative delays. Now, here we are in October, and Della Penna has filed another report based in part on an official document released by the acting chairman of the USA Cricket, Dr. Atul Rai. This report highlights and confirms that USA Cricket is in a financial and near bankrupt mess. As a result, ICC has removed administrative duties with regards to hosting the 2024 Men's T20 World Cup from USA. Many of us will recall that there was the talk of USA and Cricket West Indies working together to promote the 2024 T20 World Cup. So now that hosting decision administratively has been removed from USA Cricket, at least for the time being anyway. USA Cricket has multiple reprimands from the ICC, including a temporary suspension of funding. Additionally, Acting Chairman Rai has acknowledged that USA Cricket has defaulted on employee and player salaries, and there are more than $200,000 worth of pending invoices from previous non-budgeted expenditure that was overdue. Della Penna's report further points to a strained relationship between USA Cricket and ACE, their commercial partner. In the current agreement, ACE apparently keeps 95% of all cricket-related commercial revenue, and USA Cricket gets just 5%. This story and more information can be found on the ESPN Cricket Info website, and listeners are encouraged to read the full report. So there you have it. I think Leon mentioned that earlier on when we were discussing USA state of USA cricket with Dr. Singh and our guest, Jimmy Ankhlesaria. Cricket West Indies news. Fiji United Super 50 Cup 2022 has been announced. Six regional franchise team will play for the 2022 CG United Super 50 Cup. Matches will be played in Antigua and Trinidad from October 29th to November 19th. Zone A, which will be played in Trinidad, are the Trinidad and Tobago Red Force, Windward Island Volcanoes, Guyana Harpy Eagles, and the combined campuses and college teams. Zone B, which will be played in Antigua, will include the Leeward Islands Hurricane, Barbados Pride, Jamaica Scorpion, West Indies Academy. And each team will play six group matches, two in each qualify for semifinal. And, of course, there will be overseas live broadcast via ESPN Plus in the USA, BT Sports in the UK, FanCode India, including ESPN Caribbean. I know Leon was trying to get to our panelists. I'm wondering if he's back. Are you back with us, Leon?
Yes, I'm back with you, but I'm not able to get, I just want to say hello to Murchis and to Donna. They were not properly organized or introduced, so I'm going to give them an opportunity to say hello. Donna, why don't you say hello to your fans, and of course, Murchis, you too can say your piece after Donna is finished.
Hello, good night, everyone. As usual.
Hi, Donna.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes, as usual, good night
back
to everyone on the show. Good night to Leon, to Dennis, to Ivor, and whoever else is on. I didn't hear hardly of Virgil.
No, they have another appointment they're doing, so I, again.
Oh, okay, so that's it? And the visitor, I know I heard there was a visitor there when I tuned in. Good night to him as well.
Yes, as well. And I just want to bring greetings to everybody from Connie. She says to make sure, Uncle Leon, that you tell all the panelists hello for me. I'm still here, but not able to come on and listen to you guys. You know, so she is.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Dennis.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, Leon, with the start of the World Cup, I thought it was prudent to just look back a year ago, and perhaps, you know, and this I think might be important because of the comment a year ago, and reading that and looking at what may happen this year, I'm wondering if one will be writing a different comment. And basically, a year ago, I was thinking that the dreams of championship came face to face with the reality of the championship. This is regard to the West Indies. They came or went a year ago with their self-proclaimed boast as heavy hitters. However, the records show that the only heavy hitting being done by the West Indies a year ago was not on the cricket field. And I took a guess that it probably was at the dinner plate. After three matches last year, three matches the West Indies are in the blowout column. At this stage, the heavy hitters must do some heavy lifting on their knees to pray for divine help and interference. The interesting item was that a Reuters news article, West Indies assistant coach Estwick back then a year ago was reported to have said that the West Indies players started playing cricket because they enjoy playing cricket. And not satisfied with this comment, Estwick followed this with West Indies player must find a way to enjoy cricket. 1 year later, we are hoping that we will see an improvement on what took place a year ago when the West Indies kicks off their 2022 championship game against Scotland. The game will start at 9 p.m. tonight, our time. Sorry, I should say 9 p.m. Pacific Coast time, which is my time, more like midnight on those of you who are on East Coast time. So if you have the time, do your best, try to catch it. Otherwise, the replay might be there, you know, for you tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. So at 7 o'clock, I have not got contact with Audie. He had some problems to get me through as well. But I'm going to start the Walter Henry birthday anniversary hour at 7. And we do go with what we have. We just have about a couple of minutes to go. Going to just do that, or Dennis. Why don't you assist me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, so let's start with the drum roll, what we call the intro. Yes, those of you who have birthdays or anniversaries or anything of significance you want to mention at this point, floor is open, just call right in. Put your hands up by pressing the one on your phone and we'll bring you in. But usual, you know, this time we dedicated to the late Walter Henry. He was one of the founding members of this organization, and we are grateful for his assistance, and we remember him each and every week. So send in your requests, your anniversaries, or any important notice you want to publish with us. We will be happy to do so. But Dennis, why don't we start with you? Audley is not able to be with us as yet. So why don't we go on and give us a say from you, Audley? I mean, Dennis.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said there, Liam.
Oh, you prefer me to go with Donna. Let's go with Donna, and then I'll just fill you up. Donna, any birthdays from you this evening?
You know, yes, I have my bigger brother, Dr. Roger A. Brown. He will be celebrating tomorrow, the 17th of October. I have on the 20th, I have Tamika Brown, who will be celebrating. She's there in Georgia. She will be celebrating on the 20th. And then I have a godchild over in Nevis, who will be celebrating on the 22nd. Her name is Terian Fran. So those are my birthdays for this week. Oh, I forgot one. On the 18th, my niece, Tyra Brown, she would be celebrating on the 18th. So those are my four birthdays for this week.
All right.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Donald. Happy
birthday to them all. I wish them well. Go ahead. Dennis, you have a birthday to mention to us?
No, I didn't know birthdays this coming week, I think last week I had my birthday, but nothing for this week upcoming, Liam. Over back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I just want to mention my sister, Gabriel. She had, every year she has two birthdays because on her birth certificate is the 8th, but she has been celebrated on the 12th. You know, many of us have that same situation. Mine was on the 8th, and they used to celebrate mine on the 12th when the midwife took the information to be registered. And then I have my niece, and she too had a birthday in October. She was on the same day, the 12th, like my sister. Just want to take time out to just wish each and every one of you well. And of course, we want to just roll the clock a little back a little further, because on the 13th, Cardinal Mills is also celebrating a birthday. Belatedly, and we want to just thank him for his contribution to the show. And we do have someone in 754 whose hands are up. Let's bring them in without any further ado. Come on in, folks.
754-253. Yes, Leon.
Yes, you're up. Oh, Dr. Brown, okay. Welcome. Happy birthday. And I'm going to ask you
how old you are,
but I know you're much, much younger than I am. So I'm grateful for
you.
How are you doing?
I'm a 55-year-old.
Even Dennis is older than me, Doc.
Let me say that correctly. I'm one of the 1955 brothers of this earth.
Oh, brothers of this earth. You ever heard that term, Dennis? Brothers of this earth.
Well, I sure have now, if I've never heard it before.
Okay. Well, talk to us. I'm going to ask you like the folks who say, where is the party at? That's how they say it.
Well, I just came for one. I have to crash one because I don't have one planned for tomorrow.
Oh my goodness!
The Nevisions had every year they have this barbecue up in West Melbourne area.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big gathering of Nevisions from as far away as Nevis. Some of them flying for that Orlando, you know, New York. And of course, South Florida here, and you know, the other outlying areas in the Palm Bay area.
All right.
So it was
I don't know, Doc, if you ever met Dennis. Dennis Heath is one of our panelists here, so he's on too.
I do believe Dr. Brown has been on before, has he not?
Yes,
I think we met previously, and as Mr. Mackenzie would say, I saw him on the radio before, so I am once again delighted to be met his acquaintance once more. Back to you, Leon. Leon, I see Audley has joined us.
I'm sure he wants to say hello, and Jason is also with us. So, Jason, Dr. Brown is on, and Dennis, I know, Audley, Dr. Brown is also on with us. Why don't you say hello?
Ivor is on with us as well.
Are you speaking of Dr. Roger Brown?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good doctor. Good evening to you. Okay, good evening, Mr. Francis, and good afternoon to you, Mr. Dennis Heath, and good evening to all the rest of the panelists. And it's another Sunday evening, having a little problem here. And I saw at the time I could not answer, as I told Dennis before. I was expecting a call, and then I thought it would be later. So I had to run up a little bit. Now I'm back and everything. Where Marub is concerned, she's just about the same. And, we can just continue to pray and that she will continue. She will improve. But I think, I know she's a fighter. She's a warrior. But one thing she has going against her now, I think, that she's 92. She's not in the 70s or 80s again. So, with God, all things are possible. If not, death is something that, relieve us from pain and stuff. So, not a problem for the Lord. See it fit to take her home. The Lord give it and the Lord take it. What do you say about that, Mr. Francis?
Yeah, indeed.
I know you know a whole lot about that.
I've been experiencing that here. And, the year is not finished yet. Who knows? How much more?
Mm-hmm. Never know.
We're grateful to be here. So anything else from you, Audley? So I think we do have Ivor, but we have Jason.
Yes.
Yeah, Jason, please, Mr. Jason. Here are.
Yes, good evening, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good evening.
Any other birthdays or significant occasion to celebrate?
No, I'm here, Leon. You can get me in.
Okay. Yes, you're in, Ivor. Come on,
Ivor. Oh, yes, indeed. I would, and since we're in the birthday hour, I guess you didn't introduce all this to the birthday hour. I forgot. All the birthday hour is on Walter Henry birthday hour. So I'm going to roll it back like Liam would have said. Cardinal would have had a birthday on the 13th, down on the 7th. I urge them to enjoy every day of the month. And tomorrow is the big one. And I'm going to say, unlike Donna, Donna said happy birthday to my older brother. But I want to say happy birthday to my younger brother, Dr. Roger.
Oh, right. No, we know.
Yes. I'm the older one. He tried to say he's the more mature one, but I'm the older one.
Yeah.
Well, so, I think Tyler, too, is having a birthday, so I want to say happy birthday to her, too.
Yes, indeed.
So, what I mean, man, you go ahead and cut your cake, celebrate, but like I said, do not wait all year long for one day. I know somebody who waits all year long and then have to wait another year. I'm not going to call him the name.
AW or W?
Somebody have to call the name and I'll have to whistle. But good evening, everyone. And I think I'll participate from here on in, Leon. I think I'm in a bit of space coming in from the stadium.
Yes, indeed. All right. So why don't we close that out and just wish everybody here and tell them that we will always love them. And we love them more when they have birthdays. Because you know what happens at birthday time? You have cake. And all of us never refuse cake. Right, Dennis?
That's correct, Leon, especially.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. We're going to play this for all the birthday folks. Whitney Houston, the late lead. Late Greek.
Your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And I will always love you. That is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need. And
Am I too late to just just give a few then from the West Indian point of view?
Yes, just that.
No.
Good. All right. So tomorrow, today, no West Indian celebrating birthday I have here. But tomorrow, of course, I was off, but I think Yavaluri celebrate Dr. Roger Brown, not too
yes,
much.
He's on
his
with
birthday.
Us.
Big tomorrow, yes.
Yeah. Mm,
okay,
yes.
Sir. For West Indian cricketers, no Western, but let's say today becomes Pakistan becomes the seventh nation to play Test cricket. That's the anniversary day versus India. Guess what? They are not playing now, but no, when they made their debut, it was Pakistan and India that played when they got beaten by India by an innings and 70 runs. That's back in 1952. And tomorrow, Zimbabwe is the anniversary, and Zimbabwe became the ninth cricketing nation to play Test cricket. And that was in 1992. They played against India 5 days, and they draw the match. That was good. Mm-hmm. And for the 18th West Indian out of Antigua, George Ferris, Antigua Barbuda, and Sheldon yeah. Gomes from Trinidad and Tobago, from Michael Finley from St. Vincent. That's on the 19th. And let's see what we have for the 20th. No West Indian. And then Devon Smith from Grenada, the 19th. Mm. And the sprinter from Jamaica, Warren Weir. And Brenda Rodney from Trinidad and Tobago. Of course, female cricketer from Trinidad and Tobago. She was born back there. And our good friend of the cricket show that no longer celebrates birthday, Connie Francis.
Yes.
Connie's birthday on the 22nd of okay, October. So those would be the birthdays I have very short edition this time. So we have come to the end of the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. We just want to tell you, join us next week. I think it was a little behind time this evening, but, you know, as usual, we have guests and sometimes a little adjustment after the meet. So join us next week, 6:30 in the p.m. once again with the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Back to you, Leon.
And just before you go, I want to give you a special message from Connie. She said to tell you and Iva hello. I say, what about Uncle
beautiful.
Leon?
She was talking to you.
Anyway, let's bring in Jatin. Jatin, welcome to our... I know you are off for a long time. The folks are wondering,
Can you give me just 30 seconds to bring
okay.
you an inside it? Because
inside
I've
it.
Seen that it's right.
Truncated.
And this one is an inside edge. The only male cricketer to have carried a bat in a T20 match, a completed T20 match. T20 World Cup is in the air right now. So one and only gentleman, one and only male cricketer has carried his bat through the entire innings. And who do you think it is? Universe boss. The universe boss. The first and only male that has done that. And he made 63 not out of West Indies, 101 against Sri Lanka in the World Cup 2009. So here we go. It's the inside edge for you. Back to you.
Thank you so much. We do have Jatin on. I'm not hearing from him, but why don't you? Do you have anything to report for us, Ivo, from the Legends tournament?
Oh, I'll be happy to do so. But before I do that, I say good evening to Mrs. Howard Brown. She's listening up. DSA may be a first-time listener, so let's just go ahead and say.
And welcome, Mrs. Brown. We appreciate your presence. We see you on the radio.
Yes. Well, as you know, folks, this weekend was dubbed the World Cup 2022 Legend Weekend. Started on Friday, in which four teams participated right here in South Florida at the Broward County Stadium in the beautiful city of Lauderhill. Let me get that in. And we had Team India, Team West Indies, Team USA, Team Canada. They participated. And I'll just give the results as is so we can save some time. Third runner-up, Canada. Second runner-up, Team USA. And the defending champions, we all know that was the West Indies last year. So I dare say West Indies, Team West Indies, would have walked away with the coveted trophy and $10,000, U.S. dollars. We all know who came last. As a matter of fact, all they would whisper in my ears and say, India came dead last, not last, because they didn't win a match in the competition.
Oh, and so Ivor, they're not last. They came fourth, Ivor, not last.
No. Or I thought you said dead last because they didn't win a match. They were beaten. As a matter of fact, they were beaten by Canada twice.
Twice.
Because they played Canada, and then they had to play Canada again for the third spot. So they lost to them twice. And the only team that went through in the competition without a loss is Team West Indies. As a matter of fact, although you might need to write this down, they would have played 7 matches starting from 2021. That's when the inaugural match started. And they have not lost a single match.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so they're unbeaten and they would have won the title 2 times. That's in brief, Leon.
Yes, okay, thank you so much.
Next year is going to be in Dubai.
Dubai? And you booked your passage already, right? You got your tickets already,
yes.
Right?
Then it's going to be in Canada and it's going to be in Trinidad. So they already have those dates years slated out there. A bunch of Asian clubs want to participate in it.
Yeah,
so
okay.
They're already slated for Dubai next year.
And I, the winner and the runners up, they are automatically automatic qualifiers, and as they mentioned that other teams want to come, so they have to make sure and put a limit at the first and second in this year's tournament. They are guaranteed a spot,
yes,
in the one coming next year in Dubai.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Today you have
you'll hear more about the U.S. Open that comes up. They have additional teams, Leon, so I don't know if you can handle it. It's going to be 15 days only.
Wow.
Starting from
15?
Yes, because they've added teams, and now they're only going to go from 9 in the morning until 7 in the evening. Wow. Days gone by, we used to go until 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know that's not going to happen. You know that's not going to happen.
Yes, so 3 games a day. That's it.
Well,
I think Dennis
wanted to
come. Dennis, come on in, Dennis. Dennis, want to ask you a question, Ivan?
I wanted to direct the question, you know, possibly to Ivor. And, of course, I know Coach Jatin is certainly listening. And I'm wondering if maybe either or both can just give me an insight into this. But I've watched some of these cricket, the legend cricket, and I have to say, I note the the very healthy prize that's being given to the winner, and I see also that there are a number of other tournaments that's been organized, not just in the United States, but in other parts of the world, and they have very hefty prize monies available. Now, I'm thinking to myself, here we have a group of men in their past their prime who are obviously still enthusiastic about the game and wants to play. But it strikes me as very odd that an organizer such as the Qureshi group and the people who organize this tournament, they certainly demonstrate that they have the ability to organize tournaments.
You want
to
come in?
What is it? No, sorry.
Okay.
So I'm asking myself, why is it that with that type of money being available to pay tournaments such as the Legend, why is the organizer or organizations that put together this U.S. Open and the Legends and other tournaments with such excellent prize money, why aren't they affiliated with or part of Cricket USA, because that type of funding that's being available there would certainly be something that would help grow cricket in the United States if that type of organization and funding was used to develop the game at the levels where we know it needs to be developed. I mean, you know, not taking anything away from the legend, but I've watched the game and the guys that were trying, and I give them credit because it was enjoyable. But my point being, why aren't the organizers of this tournament, having demonstrated their ability, being part of Cricket USA in terms of organizing and promoting and, you know, giving funds to the... That is it. I've taken a long time to get around to my...
Okay,
point.
Well, I think I gather from your question then, why aren't the Cricket Council USA involved in cricket where the U.S. is concerned? Well, I'll tell you what. I think too many chiefs are in the... Well, it used to be USACA, and now, you know, it's handed over now to these folks here. And for some reason, they are shunning away from McCreshy and Cricket Council USA. But what Cricket Council USA would have gone and done is to go and get ICC approval and sanction for his matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why the USA is not reaching out to Mac to saying, be a part of us or let us be a part of you and get it done. As a matter of fact, the 14th edition is coming up here in December. It started off with 50,000. So 10,000 is raising your eyebrows. It started with 50,000. Trinidad won it twice. The bottom teams from Trinidad walked away with 50,000 both years, and then they just retired. That was David Ramsing. He organized that. After that, it jumped to $100,000 tournament. So again, it's going to be $100,000 on the cards for this tournament. So big money is passing around.
Sorry to butt in you, but I think this one is $250,000.
Yes, with the winner
taking
$100,000.
Mm-hmm. Winner taking $100,000.
Right. Well,
Dennis was saying that the winner is walking away with $10,000, and that's big money.
I'm saying
here the winner going to walk away with $100,000.
Yeah.
At the tournament,
right.
A local tournament here. But, you know, we have the Narayans and the Cornwalls and stuff. They come and participate in this. And it's organized. And again, it's another pool venue, the ICC venue. ICC sanctioned them. But yet you're hearing so much turmoil in the U.S. organized thing that is overseen by the same ICC. They ought to take a stand.
Yeah, well, this is a question that I was trying to talk to Jimmy and Dr. Singh about, you know, because I know that these tournaments are going on and the USA don't have any authority about sanctioning matches right now. That's my understanding.
But
so I was making it.
Ivor,
yes.
You said neither side is talking to each other, but isn't this shouldn't this be a two-way street if USA Cricket is not reaching out to Qureshi's group? Can Qureshi's group not reach out to USA Cricket? Because there's just too much money involved that is not, in my opinion, being used to develop the game in the USA, because it's there and it's not sanctioned. And we have the youths of today who we should be encouraging with, you know, with little rewards, not being able to develop. Why can't they both get, I mean, who's at fault here?
Can I just slip in something here? I think you don't have a room that is large enough to contain the egos that would be there.
Well,
As I've started out, there's too much cheese. There are many chiefs.
Because Jatin has been somewhat involved. I don't know if he wants to butt in here. Jatin, you want to join in this conversation? You're mute.
Well, there is a lot of things are happening. And there is no ICC sanctioning directly from anyone in U.S. It has to go through the USA because they are the official member in this country. No doubt in the past, when the USACA was suspended, there were like 2-3 years where the ICC Americas were in charge, and that is the point. Some of the tournament were sanctioned by ICC, and they can carry on that label like it is ICC sanctioned tournament, something like that. As far as I know, anything happens in U.S. need to go through the USA Cricket.
Yep. But
unfortunately,
okay, let me answer that, and I show RD with a test to it. These matches are sanctioned by ICC. I was there from the inception.
Yeah.
We had 1 year when all these West Indian cricketers came up here to play, and they couldn't even step on the field of play because they were sanctioned by the ICC, the matches. Cricket Council USA applied after that to get these guys released to participate in these matches. The professional cricketers could not participate because they were not sanctioned by the ICC. Ever since that, they corrected that, and ICC gave the U.S. Open its blessing. I know that for a fact.
So, Ivor, you're saying that prior to the USA being suspended for handling the administration portion of cricket in the USA, that this was done for Cricket Council USA? And
Cricket Council has nothing to do with USACA. They were organizing their own private stuff, which was not approved by the ICC, but they were trying to use USA Cricket.
I'm talking about USA Cricket is presently not handling the administration of cricket in the USA, but Dr. Rai is the president, and he's still operating. So are you saying that USA don't have anything at all to do with Cricket Council USA? It just goes directly
Absolutely nothing. They have nothing.
Well, the way the system works, let me give it to you. Don't be panic here. I'm not taking any side. But the way the international cricket works, if somebody don't know, the hosting country and the releasing country both need to be under the ICC. So if you take example, if the West Indies does not offer NOC, player cannot play in U.S. Otherwise, if the U.S. cricket don't want any player from outside, they cannot play. And that is the point where the ICC comes in picture, because ICC controls the entire world. And if it is ICC approved, and if you think you can get any player from India, good luck. You still have to go through the board.
But
the situation
I'm coming to
CCUSA and cricket, USA cricket. I'm not sure what is the connection or what can be the handshake part, right? But at the same time, the USA cricket has too many things not in place, I will say. That includes the protocol or procedure to sanction certain tournaments or certain games in U.S. And because of that, I can see the CCA also has offered to sanction certain tournaments in U.S. Now, when you do that, it automatically becomes the two different organizations rather than just one organization. So in the long run, what we have to wait and watch, I'm reading all the media release lately, what you are reading. The USA Cricket is in trouble, and they are trying to fix the issues. Now, when it comes to the ICC, they have not recognized two body in any country in the world. They usually go with this one member. But at the same time, with the T20 since 2008, there are plenty of T20s going around the world, which is approved and sanctioned by the ICC, and that is where U.S. Open T20 falls. It's a private tournament. It carries the prize in a cash value, and that is the what this U.S. Open is widely available for all players. Whoever wants to play, all they need is they need to have their home cricket association need to have the NOC before they play in U.S. Open. So at the moment, if you look at it, the majority of the players playing in U.S. are from West Indies. But then, I'm not sure whether I talked this point last week or not. Very soon, West Indies cricket will be destroyed. The reason for that, I can give you, hold on. I can give you, in just 2022, we have 8 tournaments where the cash prize was involved, and every tournament has was playing in U.S., whether you talk Washington, D.C., you talk Ohio, you talk U.S. Open, you can talk Atlanta Open, and the list goes on. You know what very soon going to happen? If 50 or 60 West Indies players are playing, let's say, a dozen tournaments in just U.S., and they're already loaded with the plenty of T20 around the world, who will be playing your regional tournaments?
Okay, can I go ahead and answer that question?
Sure.
Leon, my other phone, just go ahead and book it in here. I have someone who will answer the question directly on the phone. On the...
Okay.
The hand is up.
What's the number?
Hello. My phone.
786, you're in. 330.
Come on in.
Okay. That's Mr. Matt Qureshi. Let him come on in.
Mr.
Ask the question.
Qureshi, come on in, sir. How are you?
Yes,
Mr.
Good, how are you?
Great tournament today. We congratulate you. We have a question for you. Are you sanctioned by the ICC to play that tournament? And give us...
Every year, yes.
So, if I might ask the question, this Legend Series, as a sanctioned series, why were only just... Sorry?
No. Legend is... They have nothing to do with ICC. ICC have no interfere for Legends. And the Legend tournament is called WCC, World Cricket Council.
Yes.
And they don't require them, anybody in ICC. There's all retired players who's a legend. The endorsement and recognition by Cricket Hall of Fame. And Cricket Hall of Fame hosting the Legend every year in the worldwide.
Okay, good. Let me explain.
That's what we're speaking about, the U.S. Open. Okay.
Can I ask a question of Mr. Qureshi? Given that we want cricket to grow in the United States, is it impossible for your organization to talk to Cricket USA or Cricket USA to talk? Why is it difficult for you guys to come together and form a partnership that will see all the tournaments that you're so grateful for? I mean, carefully organized, and I know they're successful because I see a lot of them with a lot of prize money. Why is it so difficult for the two of your group and Cricket USA to get together and become one body that organizes cricket in the USA?
No, this USA Cricket is a 501c organization which is run by the boards. Every year, 2 years they have election. And Cricket Council USA hosting the tournaments. So it's two different, but we always work together with the USA Cricket and ICC jointly because we're hosting the tournament. Our tournaments privately, Cricket Council in USA, any company run and privately is more successful than run by organization.org, means a government agency. every 2 years when you have election, have new body come in, they have different rules. In Cricket Council USA, have one vision promoting cricket in USA last 22 years, and privately held and financially held. Never have any lawsuit, Cricket Council USA, never have the board issues, never have financial issues. So we don't combine and combine together take liability for USA cricket in our hand. When you join somebody hands, then we be part of them those, and we cannot do that. If we do that, then we are same boat, you know. So we run as a Cricket Council privately held, and we support them all organization like USA Cricket. They need some. We always support them. ICC needs some. Always support them. Any other country teams come in USA, we help them and support whatever we can, financially and morally and organization-wise.
Anybody wants to ask Mr. Qureshi any question? Any on the panelists? That's not too clear?
But, I mean, I'm curious, Leon, that I see how well Qureshi's group, if I might, you know, being familiar here, organizes these tournaments, and I see how well that they are supported and liked. But nowhere in any of the advertisement do I see a mention that this tournament is sanctioned by Cricket USA and ICC. It's as if they're a separate entity altogether, which gives me the impression that you're probably not attracting all the professionals who may be interested except within a few countries, well, except within, say, the West Indies and possibly India. You don't seem to see more people coming from other countries, probably because there is no sanctioning arrangement between Cricket USA and the Qureshi group for these various tournaments. I hope I'm making myself clear.
No, let me answer that, because you have a long question. Number one, our goal is, mission is, last 23 years, Cricket Council USA promoting cricket in USA. We want to give opportunity to build up USA new generations and grown and players. This is international appeal teams. Last 2008, been invited U.S. Open, international and national players, they combined to play in USA. So we have player, when we started, not too many teams, not too many tournaments, not too many anything's there. So now we have thousands of tournaments, and we have many, many players which is qualified to play in USA. Every players who's been playing right now in USA team all came from U.S. Open. We promoting most of the cricket in national scales. So we give them opportunity to international players. They take NOC from their own country. They come and play with any teams. Mm-hmm. That's why we want, what our goal is, promoting cricket in USA. Not internationally. ICC already have members many other countries. They have responsibility to promote cricket. But only problem we had it in USA, never been promoted cricket in USA. Always India came and West Indies came and they came and play gone. But who's going to carry on USA cricket? So we host number of tournament. We did close to 300 some tournament we hosted last 23 years. And we promote, we have over thousands teams has been playing our tournaments, different. Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Houston, and all Arkansas. We built over 100 fields, cricket grounds, different. Philadelphia, we built 4 fields. Tampa, we just built 4 fields. Chicago, number of fields. Our goal is promoting cricket in USA. So our new generation come in, they knows what is the cricket about. When I started, we have no stadiums. We built the stadiums. We cooperated. We opening the stadium 2008. Now we have a stadium full blend where West Indies play, international play, U.S. Open been playing since 2008. Now another goal we had it, we want to international World Cups, international tournaments, leagues, all is here now. Our next step is we want to be cricket in schools and colleges as a scholarship, just like one of the sports. So that's why we are vision, we're moving forward to that part of them. And this is the third recognition tournament in USA, US Open after tennis, golf, US Open, and cricket, endorsement by Congress, endorsement by local agencies, endorsement by counties, commissioners, and Hall of Famers. All the endorse this thing worldwide. They're recognizing USA Cricket, US Open, is one of the premium tournaments. So that's our goal is. We don't care about, I see in America, is you can open company today called ACF Cricket Organization or American Cricket Organization. Nobody can stop you. You can do your tournament. You can do whatever you wanted. Nobody can stop you. That's the beauty about this country. If you go back to India or Pakistan, if you open any organization against BCCI, they will going to shut down. Government come in, police going to shut you down. Not in America. Mm-hmm. You can open today. And that's why we are a successful country. Why? We have mobile gas station one corner, Shell gas station other corner, 7-Eleven mm-hmm. other corner. Nobody can stop, nobody compete. Everybody get a license, same rule apply. And no police come in, they're dominating. This is a country not let you dominating. That's why we love this country. That's why we came for USA. We want to be run based off that. So our rule saying, you don't care about USA cricket and sanctioned by ICC. There's no control body here in USA. You cannot shut Cricket Council USA last 22 years. How many times USA Cricket, USACA, they want to shut down? It never happened. They cannot do that. So we were independently successful. When you independently, anything business you do, you're on here in USA, you always success and less aggravations, and you can do morally. We host tournament for the World Cup legend recently. World Cup legend, ICC have to not involve, or anybody USA cricket cannot involve. They cannot be stopped. They cannot be do anything about it. You know why? If they're interfering, they're going to have lawsuits. They know it. Only this country, not any other country. So we are blessing this country, and we visioning our goal. Nobody can stop. We don't give them domination to anybody. The control body come in and stop. Used to be they have nobody was here. USA Cricket always dominating. If you play this league, you suspend it. You play this thing, suspend it. No. Not in this country. You can play any league you want. You can go any place you stop where you be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I at the risk of attempting to, I don't want to take over the conversations per se, but I still don't understand why, for example, Cricket USA will release media releases and they will promote. Why do I never, ever see a Qureshi type, and forgive me for putting it that way, tournament being advertised on via
let me clear that part of them. Cricket, the USA cricket is last 3-4 years old. We are 23 years old. We have 25 million subscribers in MAC TV. USA cricket does not have it. USA cricket does not have what we have reached, number one. We recognition are even TV recognition by ICC and worldwide also. We in Pakistan, we are Caribbeans, we are everywhere in the world. So we have advertising much bigger than what USA Cricket is. So we don't have to go back and somebody, they don't have enough follower. We have more follower than USA Cricket. So why we will going to go to advertisement with them? We have already there much higher scale. We own, Cricket Council own Cricketer Books. Cricket Council on News 95, Cricket Council on MAC TV. Cricket Council have a lot of things on hand. We have 19 channels. We have worldwide channels. So we don't need anybody can help that. Once I announced the team tournament in USA, I got over 100, like US Open, 187 team registered. I cannot let them play everybody. So we don't really, you think then advertisement? People paying $10,000, $20,000 just registration and U.S. Open. Upfront money.
Cool.
We don't have a space. I used to beg 2008, beg, please come and play. I give you $2,000, $1,500. Now, after
they're
15
begging.
Years, they're begging us coming back because you know why? We're doing the right things. They give me focused things. Last year teams, they went to the final. Previous year, the teams, they went final. They're not able to play this year. You know why? Because they don't register on time. Our thing is very open. Who register, who pay first, completely registration, they will be first one. First come, first serve. So we have very open, U.S. Open. Any player, any team they can play. We are open format. There's no dominated cricket. So somebody controlling. You can put your teams to next year and first register, your team is going to be playing. It doesn't matter you've been playing for the last 10 years and you've been champion for last year because you don't follow the rules. So that's why we've been success.
All right. Anyone that wants to? Virgil, you're on. Any questions from you for Mr. Qureshi?
The other organization which you're talking about, U.S. Cricket is under?
USA Cricket.
Okay.
USA Cricket.
Could anyone tell me within the last 5 years, we have one international stadium in the United States that ICC Shanks and to play international game, right? USA, you said USA, right?
Yes.
You said USA is, okay. How many games that they use up, did they use up, how many times did they use up the stadium down here?
None of them.
Anybody within the last 5 years? How much time did they use it up?
Even last 5 years, only USA Cricket Council, USA, US Open, every year. Even during the pandemic, we are the only one using the stadium. Even the pandemic cost tons of amount of money. We always host our tournament, 30 teams, 25 teams, 24 teams, national championship, Cricket Council, USA, been hosting on that stadium every single year. No gap.
I think you should tell them how much money. So,
most likely, you know, if you don't use this stadium, our U.S. cricket body or whatever they call it, I don't know, because it seems like they have more politics more than anything else. They don't. That means the stadium will stop there and grow mass in the stadium then.
Yeah.
Because you can't have something like that organizing.
What will be happening?
You see, you can't have organizing.
They're playing soccer inside you. That's what's been happening, you know?
No. I don't want you to cover for nobody. Please leave this out of it.
Wait.
Let me say something to you.
Virgil, let me clear up the misunderstanding. I'm just saying.
Let me say something to you.
Okay, guys. I'm saying
if Mr. Qureshi or you soccer was not using it. They'll be using it to play soccer. That's what I'm saying.
No. I mean, we're talking about cricket.
That's not
okay.
What it's built for.
No. What I'm saying, if Mr. Qureshi for the last 5 years that he used the stadium when he planned his tournament. So forget about the soccer because he don't use it every day. So if soccer play there, sometimes we don't even know because we're not talking about that. We're talking about Mr. Qureshi and U.S. Whatever body they call it from the U.S. Those are the two persons I'm talking about who use up the stadium. So we don't want to bring nothing else in to try to cover somebody else. We're not doing that. We're talking about the person who use the stadium to play cricket. We're not talking about, because they have baseball in there, they have track and field in there. It doesn't bother nobody because they don't have it when you're playing cricket. I'm just saying, for the last 5 years, who is the person that uses the stadium? Because if the U.S. body, that sanctioned by the ICC or whatever they call it, and we have an international stadium only once in a year when we get India and West Indies, and once in a blue moon we get some other international game. But the local game, if they're not using up and playing tournament gear, something is wrong somewhere. Because we don't want to have that stadium sitting down here making us... Let me talk for Ladder Hill itself, because I'm from Ladder Hill. Do you know the amount of pressure what Ladder Hill commissioner and all, some of them go through to build a stadium? Because everybody was talking, oh, you're building this thing for cricket, you don't care about nothing else. And now they're saying they're sitting down there and not doing anything. So for U.S. itself, cricket body, if they don't use it, we will lose it. Because this is what people want to see. Nothing is playing over there. For this other person, Mr. Koshy, that's using up, I'm really happy that he's using it up. Because the U.S. body should play more cricket down there more than anybody. Do some kind of organization to do something and play more cricket down there more than anybody else. Because that is the only one that we have now, which more is building. But we can't think about that. The one that we have now, they're not using it. And for all that money that the ICC pumping in the organization, that's what I'm saying, too much politics is in these, no matter who run it.
Let me say a few things. ICC fund the money for the USA cricket, but they have so much control all over the USA, they don't have enough fund. They're negative right now, $600,000. They cannot even pay any players. They cannot able to go to travel anymore. Our team is sitting out there. If you see the news, I go Crick Info and see the news. The USA Cricket does not have the money. They're looking for the loan, looking for those to run that. So if we're joining that section, I have a lot of pressure many times from the county. We was the county meetings many times. Broward County owned the cricket stadium. The Laurel Hill is located in Laurel Hill. And I'm the one is 2004, shovel the ground first one with the Joe Aglishan with the mayor. And we promised them we're going to do that. I'm the one who donated the land to the Broward County on Sunrise and 27 for 5 acres where the park is. This is my land personally owned by Superstop Petroleum. I donated to the Broward County that land to build that stadium. And I spent tons of money. The $5 million land, I donated only for $500,000 to the Broward County to build this field. And that's why they put me on 2004, shovel the ground. There's no commissioner involved on the Laurel Hill. Only Joe Aglishan was the mayor in Broward County. 2008, when the stadium done, and we built first one, the tournament, I spent $1.4 million to first tournament hosted. West Indies came in, India teams came in, and also Pakistan teams came in, and Canada teams play in that Broward County's first ever T20 tournament. So since then, I've been hosting the tournament. Was the requirement $30,000 to $42,000 minimum to carry on to hold that stadium inside, which is we've been hosting the tournament 4 or 5 in a year. It's paying much higher numbers, so we don't have any problem with the stadium. They do have soccer fields. They do have in there the season we don't play, but it's too expensive. The county put that thing up. Laurel Hill requirement much higher. Everything they need the permitted, everything they want to charge for the police, everything they charge by hospitalized and anything they have for requirement for local cricket cannot able to play because cost of the field $1,500 a day. So if he thinks local leagues can be promoted in that field, never happened. They could not going to play. How many times we local tournament we does many times? Nobody come to watch the game either. Even we put the sign on the street, even the crowd, hardly they can come in. So the problem is wherever you go to, the cricket is only way can grow, have to be every single school in Laurel Hill been play in junior scale. Everybody support, they can be play. Once they start playing, our stadium is going to be cost of free for us because that's why the soccer, that's why the basketball, every stadium, they got free because they have a scholarship from the school, they have a scholarship from the colleges. Cricket does not have that. So we focusing this part of them. Once we have a school system adopted in cricket, so the county and city will going to be participate with us. Participating with us means they're recognizing that sports is one of the American sports, which is they have scholarships in school and colleges, and we have not to pay. We can come in biggest tournament school scale. That's what they like to see.
Okay. But can somebody clear me up, because USA Cricket is suspended, but the president, the acting interim president, is still functioning. Am I correct in saying that?
No. The USA Cricket, hear this thing up. USA Cricket, USACA has been suspended a long time ago. We got a new form, USA Cricket, they call Cricket,
yes.
USA. They form the body, and the control body is like every 2 years they have election. They have new election. Somebody else came in. All controlled from a lot of Indian people. They're holding on the state.
The funding from the USA has been cut off.
Yes,
the funding
has been cut off,
but there is Dr. Rai, who is still operating.
Atul Rai is there, is not suspended. Atul Rai is the director of there right now. He used to be USACA president, before that ACF president. All the same people keep coming in and controlling the cricket. Once things going to be clear, they signed their own deals with some private company they call ACF. ACF controlling the cricket. Everything they signed for one of the Indian company, ACF. So you have to go through ACF. Whose ACF is? It's private company. And they sign assignment 50-20 rights, T10. Any player they need to play in USA, you have to go to the ACF. And ACF is nobody, this private entity. So USA Cricket signed the lease, assigned the agreement with them. So that's why the problem they're going through. They have lawsuit between them. Other people, they don't like that thing up. They don't like Caribbean people. They don't want anything to have to do with them. And they're controlling every single board member is only Indians. So that is that's what dominating is. If you look at it, nobody have associated with. We don't do discrimination here, but they do have discrimination issues there. Look at the
gentlemen.
The
you heard it here. You're a little low, Ivor. I think you can come in a little closer. Okay, Mike.
Okay, what I'm saying, I know Fern just spoke about. Can I get an echo?
You're a little far away. You sound far away.
Yeah, we're not hearing you clearly.
Okay. Go ahead, that's better. It sounds like you're better. Go ahead. Talk to us. No, Daddy, Ivor. Come on in. Hi, welcome, Simon. Go ahead, Ivor.
We're inside the Lawrence Yagar
Go ahead, Ivor.
So
say something.
I'm so happy.
County.
With your cricket lovers.
Hold on, Simon.
What? Leon and Dennis.
Hold on a while for us. Go ahead. Ivor, finish your point.
Yeah, I was asking Mr. Qureshi to tell the listeners how much money his organization has pumped into Broward counties to all these hotels and restaurants and all this stuff. Rental, car rental, everything.
Every year just hosting the U.S. Open, just one tournament, cost over $500,000 to my cost. The last 14 years, just think about it, over $7 million just for one tournament.
If Ace can go into get an agreement with USA Cricket, why can Qureshi's group not get a similar type of arrangement with USA Cricket? Because Qureshi's group seems to be doing an overwhelmingly great job with organizing, with promoting, with paying for. So it strikes me that, you should be able to, get that type of relationship with cricket.
Do you want me to answer that question that don't care about what nobody said?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Dennis.
All right,
Dennis.
I'll answer the question. One is an Indian, and the other one is a Pakistanian. And If them guys come together, it would be nice. But too much talk about too much politics right there and then, and that is why you have to get out of the cricket, because I don't like you because you come from here, and you don't like me because I'm come from here, and it cannot be that. If you're in there for cricket, it does not matter where you're coming from. It's supposed to be about cricket. And if we don't get the politics out of that, That is the problem we always have. Same reason why you see you don't have India and Pakistan playing test match, which to me the ICC is a joke, because you cannot have international game and wait until World Cup for these two countries to play against each other. No, forget about the government of those countries. You run ICC, this playing that, that playing that, and that's the way it's about. If you don't want to play, well, you're out of cricket. That's the whole bottom line. And we can't think about
that
one country controlling cricket.
Let me cut you off, but let me. I'm sorry. We are USA based, and everybody won USA. We love in the USA cricket, and we love in those. If we can come together, there's no coloring issue. Number one, I always been positive. I have best friend of Jamaican. I have best friend of Trinidad. I have best friend of Pakistani. Best friend of Indian. Best friend of South Africa. All of them are friends as a cricket friend. I never discriminate. I'm connected with the Cricket Hall of Fame, with the legends, and I get it all. So I run that way. In this country, you cannot do discrimination done. But they do have here people that does. They're thinking they own this in India, biggest cricket. They can do here. They cannot happen. In this country, not happen. It's the same blood. You guys, all the Caribbean love play cricket. They all is Caribbean next to us, and they come in and play, enjoy, you know. If we call them in India, they don't want to play with Indian. They not want to come in. I don't discriminate at all. What we can do, make a successful private organization, make a much successful, as you know that. You guys all can support. We can make a world's the biggest, strongest company in USA. We really don't need. You think so? NFL, they needed India, Pakistan, or Sri Lanka? No. NFL have own tournament. NBA have own tournament. In USA, they're running very well, privately organization, and very strong.
Yes.
So why are we looking for ICC sanctioning? Why are we looking for any? You build your own country here, and you invited the people that did not get chance to come in here, open country, free country. That's the way I look at it, and that's the way I've been running for last 22 years. I have 7 years, no sanctioning, nothing. ICC say we're going to suspend it. USA Cricket say we're going to suspend the player. I never stop. You know what happened in 2013? They came to us. They said they want sanction because they never stopped. They could not be stop me because I run with the American way. I don't care about it. I supposed to have in 2013, only 24 teams. That year I have 40 teams. Because they said they're going to suspend it. So I invited more teams. What happened? They give up. They came to us. They cannot control USA. And then what they said, okay, we want free sanction. Can you free sanction? I said, I don't need your sanction. So I'm saying we need to become together and make a strong give and take.
Exactly.
If you have something leverage, if you have something leverage produced, you have good players, you have the good system.
Permit me,
you don't
Mr. Oishi, I want to remind you of something. Mr. Oishi, hold on. I want to answer Mr. Dennis' question to you this way, and I'll let you pick it up. He's asking for your organization to link up with the U.S. cricket. Remember, 1 year while we were doing the U.S. Open, one of the U.S. representatives came into the park and was ordering the U.S. cricketers to not play into the league. When you have to escort him by police out of the grounds. You remember that?
Yes, I remember that. I remember that too.
Yep.
That's what I'm trying to tell Mr. Dennis. Mr. Qureshi and the U.S. Cricket, U.S. the Council, wants to work with everybody. But then the USAC are coming to try to fight it down. I was there, they coming in, taking the players off the field. Cricket is playing. Cricket. And you're preventing them from playing cricket. You want to prevent them from playing cricket. And you know who it was? One of our own coming out of Barbados representing the United States cricket.
Yeah,
I
have to call the sheriff and throw them out. They want to stop it. They think they're representing USA cricket. They're not going to stop. And you know what? I say, you know, this is America. You cannot do this thing. I call the police and sheriff and order it out. And I suspend
Mr. Dennis, you have your answer. That's the answer right there.
That is clear. Anyway, Jen, do you want to come in and say anything?
I'm listening. I just finished the tournament. I have to leave. Can I get out exit? I'm sorry.
Okay, good. We know what you're doing.
I come back next time. Definitely will answer as many questions.
Just let me know what you're doing. We know you're doing something.
I want everybody to join US Open this year. I just want to make sure everybody be together, join US Open, and make a successful event for us.
Yeah, well said, sir. Thank you so much for your special time. Indeed.
Thank you for coming through, Mr. Guish.
Right, thank you so much. Okay, I heard it there.
I was ready to give you the Dennis quick answer. When he says CC USA need to contact USA Cricket, I will say no. The reason for that, if the USA thinks they hold the house, they need to fix their own problems and look into whose stuff is working or not. We are in U.S., and I will say not just Mac Kuresi, he's also Hall of Famer with me. We get along very well, and that is the reason if you look at this tournament, it says Cricket Hall of Fame Legends Tournament hosted by CC USA, right? It was a newly started last year. Coming straight to the point, besides Mac Kuresi, I will not sideline many of people who are doing something as a group or individual in this country. Do they really need them? If they want to bring them together, everyone on the board, which can be much stronger, but they have their own agendas, right? And as we see, Mac Kuresi openly says with this administration, it's a very clear. They will not do it. They will not let you do it. So why someone has to reach out to the USA Cricket? If they need the members, if they want to control the entire country, I will say they need to reach out each and every person or every league or every tournament or every organization out there. It's their job to reach out. It's not the people has to beg around for the opportunities. They'll keep continue doing what they do. Because they are not doing for the ICC. They are not dying for the national governing body. These are the passionate people who are heavily interested to do something, and that is reason they carry on. Just like Mac Kuresi. He is spending money year by year by year by year. And if you don't believe the money, I will say look at the reality. The action speaks. Every year he is hosting few tournaments, and you guys believe it or not, you can find Mac Kuresi entire tournament on the field, not in his office, where you have a hard time to reach out this body one or the administrator. Pick up the phone and see if they can respond.
Yeah, and not only does U.S. Open T20, he also runs the T10 tournament as well at the stadium. Away from the one that they just concluded one today. Just to mention that he explained why he's not going to link up with any, and there are good reasons, but many groups can work together for the same goal. Look, long years ago, there in boxing, WBA, WBC. It was just the two dominant ones, and then you have IBF with Lee came in, and then you have the WBO, and then you have all different. And boxing is going on. Everybody have their own champion, and sometimes it's bigger because you have to pay this one or this one to fight this champion, and it creates bigger purses and more excitement in boxing. So you can be different organization working for the same goal and things going right, you know. So you don't necessarily have to join together. But when you come at the right time together, like when you have the champions, then they get bigger purses, you know. So it can work.
We know this country don't deserve this. Don't deserve this. And I hope there is an end to it. And let us unite. That's why I started. We started this program to help unite, educate, and inform people about cricket, not to be having this friction.
It should be a lot better. I mean, we should be a lot better, man, but it's going to be hard, man. It's just sometimes too much politics just get inside of things, man, and that's one of the big problems, man. And just... But we can't. I can't even say that because, and all in the West, we're doing the same thing. Like, especially when you're picking a team, it's just you're discriminating against this, and you just we have the same problem. So it's not far from the West Indies. So maybe that's why all the problem up here too with the cricket.
All right.
We have
a limited time. Let's spend a little time on the World Cup coming up. West Indies playing tonight at midnight, folks. And last, we have two matches that have been played. Just want us to discuss those two matches and then go on to name the West Indies potential 11 for tonight, and possibly we can go on to predict who is going to be the semifinalist. The four teams got going to be the semifinalists. So it's a lot to chew, but can we ask Virgil? He's smiling. So why don't you tell us your take on what's going on? You saw Namibia. You saw Namibia and Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka went down. And you also saw the United Arab Emirates and the Netherlands. The Netherlands survived and beat the UAE. And a low-scoring encounter. So who's going to take, who's going to get the catch?
Okay, let me start first. That game, I watched the game. It was an excited game.
Which one? The final game?
UAE, I thought would have win the game, but at least Neverland come back. I mean, it was a good game. The other one, I didn't see Sri Lanka game until I saw it in a replay. And it just to show you the level of T20. Anybody, like I said, if Afghanistan bat first and make 160-something, any team come behind that got to have a problem. I don't care what team is in the group, they got to have a problem. So when we're saying picking this, is who turned up that day, and they're that good, we're going to have a problem with the other team, especially some of these other top team that we have. You will see some of this underdog team put them out of the World Cup, and it's going to happen.
Your top four teams for the final, is it too early to start the prediction?
I can't say that yet because maybe obviously Afghanistan and so on. I have to see some of them gameplay and maybe put Afghanistan and some of them on the dark team in my top four.
You want to try picking West Indies team for tonight? 11?
West Indies team? Rakim Cornwall. I can't go no further.
All right. So,
that's my
next?
Here. I'm starting with my open.
Okay, you're coming early and give us your take on the matches so far and West Indies 11 and what else? Yeah. Anything that you want to mention about the World Cup so far?
Well, Leon, I haven't been able to watch a whole lot because when it's going on, I'm at work, and sometimes when I come in and start to, do a, as a matter of fact, because it was just the preliminaries. So I was not really head over heels with what's going on. Now that the main focus will be on West Indies now trying to get out or to qualify for the top 12, I'm going to be paying full attention now. I've been following much of it.
What about you, Dennis? What say you? Give us your take.
You want me to give you my 11 for tonight?
If you have it, but if
Pooran,
you don't, you just...
I can give you my 11. Pooran, Powell, Taraya, Cottrell, Brooks, Hossain, Joseph, King, Mayers, McCoy, and Smith. That's my 11 for the game tonight. And I think in terms of...
You said... Hussain?
Yes, I did.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Pooran, right. Powell, Karaya, Cottrell, Brooks, Hossain, Joseph, King, Mayers, McCoy, and Smith. I think that's 11.
Who's opening the batting?
I would go with King and Brooks.
Yeah, Brooks.
Yeah.
You don't have Mayors in the side.
Or Mayors. Okay, Mayors and Brooks with King coming in at number three.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Go
ahead. Your choice, your selector. So you pick who you.
That would be my 11.
Take on the two matches so far that have been played. Sri Lanka.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised that the Netherlands.
Give us your take on the two matches so far.
If these two matches set the standard of excitement that we should expect in all the other games to come. And just a little bit of advice for the West Indies. They should have watched the way the Netherlands team went about collecting singles instead of standing there waiting to hit a six every fifth ball. That is my contribution right there, Leon.
Okay.
You must be reading my mind today.
We'll come to you. Go ahead, Ivor. Everybody
else. I think it'll come there. The results show that they win, but I don't think they should have waited so late to get to overall 111. Now, you have got to be dominant. This is the preliminary stages. You bowled 20 overs for 111 for 8. And you take it down to 19 overs and 5 balls to get 112. You're telling me that you're not going to go too far in this competition against the UAE. But I congratulate them for the win nonetheless. The upset was Sri Lanka. Well, they're not out by any means. But to me, that was an upset. I was following that game last night. And I was like, these guys are allowing these guys to make too much runs.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they with the chase, they were found wanting. And why I'm surprised, Sri Lanka is the Asian champion.
Yeah.
But don't count them out because they lost the first match in the Asian championship and turned around and won the competition. Mm-hmm. So let us.
They only have to win two matches in the group. They have them win two matches in the group.
It just means they have to win the other two.
Yes.
So don't count them out.
Mm-mm.
And Len, if you check your list, I think you and I did pick Sri Lanka.
We picked Sri Lanka. Yes, we did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm still.
And your final 11, Ivor? Your final 11 for West Indies?
No, I'm going to support the 11. I'm not going to pick an 11, but I'm going to support the 11 that they have there. I expect us to beat Scotland with whatever 11 we're picking. So I don't have a preference, and I think that's a problem that West Indies are having. They have a set 11, do or die, they stick with that 11. Horses to course. I don't know the course at this time. They're playing Scotland. They must look at videos and know matchups. Who match up well against this bowling? Which bowler match up well against that? You can't always just pick somebody because Azhar Joseph all the time, you're going to burn him out. You must be able to rest him somewhere along the line. So I am not always going to go with the best player. I'm going to be the best team for that day. I'm trusting Desmond Haynes and the coaches and captain. So give me an 11 that I want to support for that day against Scotland. That's my take on that, Liam.
Okay, good. Virgil, your take now. Give us all you got.
No,
and
well,
more.
First, let me go back to forget his name. No,
don't go back to Cornwall.
California.
Dennis.
No. When Dennis was saying about how Neverland, I think, was playing with a single, the same thing I was thinking today. Look how them guys just push around, and I said, West Indies president can do something like that. So when you say that, I say it was just like it was reading my mind today. Oh no, for my pick, I only can pick the open bat for the world for the T20, and my open bat is not there, which is Cornwall, so I can't pick no more. I'll just watch and enjoy the game.
It takes 11.
Put it this way: the one that, and I'm going to say it again, that Barbados sabotage doing that final, and now the West Indies do the same thing, sabotage the same person that is not in the World Cup. The one that can give them a quick start in the first six over, give them a real good spot, they refuse to play him. That's all I can say.
A quick one.
I think Virgil is trying to come with something.
Quick one for Virgil.
Virgil, I understand that Cornwall can make two, but he can't make 11. All right? This is for Virgil's question.
Give us your take on it.
Give us your talk to me.
For tonight, they
carry Evan Lewis down there, and is the most experienced of the opening batters. So I'll still go with Lewis, although he hasn't set the place ablaze, and Mears to open. King will be coming in at number three. And if Brooks plays, I would expect Brooks to play at number four. Who we have there again? We have it's going to be the captain. Captain will become number five, and I'm expecting to see Powell at number six, Jason Holder at number seven. And then we have Akil Hussain, number eight. Mm-hmm. Alzar Joseph coming in there. Smith coming in, Alzar Joseph. And I don't know if we want two
Cottrell.
Spinners.
Cottrell.
You see, I picked a team, you know, or opener. He has not shown anything. As far as I'm concerned, I would go with Mears and King to open. I'm not going to play the other guys. And I'd like to see Odin Smith, Azari Joseph. And I'm so worried about Jason Holder because he's not giving me nothing. I tell you the truth. Yeah. We're saying he's the best all arounder, and we cannot depend on him to give us when we in dire straits. He wants to run. He cannot bat and buckle down and get his singles. He has to be going over the top, and always get out like that. I'm in between Cornwall.
I wish you were there, but McCoy.
Yeah.
Odin Smith. To me, in making more runs than Jason Holder. Guys, he had to play for his place. And Evan Lewis, to me, is just going there on his past experience. He's not doing anything since he's going. They have to play for them. Play your best informed team right now. That's what I would think.
Can I? Question for you, Leon, because I don't see Lewis in the T20 World Cup squad for the West Indies that I have in front of me.
He's in the squad.
He's in the squad.
Evan Lewis.
I don't see his name on my squad. On the squad that was released.
He's on the squad.
Maybe I missed him when I copied down my squad that I saw Okay, carry on.
Yes, he's
definitely in the first team.
He has experience, but he's not showing me any because we cannot take any chances. West Indies has got to beat Zimbabwe and Scotland. And then the chips fall away.
And Ireland.
If he beat two wins. If they get two wins,
we're going to beat Ireland. We can't beat Australia. and England and India. We must beat these guys. Hold them to that. We have to hold them to that. They have to beat them.
Okay. I'd love to see them beat anything, but right now our priority is to win your first two match and take the pressure off of you. You can play anybody in afterwards. But win your first match against Scotland and beat Zimbabwe. Those are the two teams
of course
you're playing first. And then you beat those, you have a chance now to bring in some of the guys who have the potential, but they're just off of form. So play accordingly. But I need them to win the first two matches. You cannot take the chances like what Sri Lanka did, because Sri Lanka feel that, in my view, Sri Lanka had these boys on the run, and then maybe on the run 70-something before, and make them make 160-something. And that's, and the last four or so overs, they make over 50 runs. That's a lot of runs in the end. And you know something, Wheezy, I don't know how you pronounce that name, but he went for a duck, and you know the potential. They are batting down to eight. West Indies have batting down to eight on paper. They need to perform, and Jason Hole is one who we need to get more production from. I hear what Dennis say, wants to leave him on, but I say, as a past captain, you give him that. But he has given a lot of chances, and he's not doing anything.
No.
We need him to produce. That's my take. Anybody else? Yeah.
Powell, how about you? He had second most wicket for the Caribbean in the T20, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's why he's in the team.
No, but he's no,
I think it is going to be picked.
But wait. Other people who make runs more than some other people is not in the team. So I don't know how they put it. So
they pick. They say you have to be a 360 player.
This Virgil boy.
They say you have to be a 360 player. You know what it means, Jeff Virgil? 360
player.
No.
Complete.
No, he's not a 360 player. No. He's
that's
a 365 player.
That is what they say they use to pick.
Len.
That's a yardstick they use.
I wish I get a chance to combat something one of your guests said about he not picking Cornwall, the excuse. I would have told him straight up front, let me tell you something. You have 11 players on the field, keep on a bowler. Then you have nine other players. Do you expect that ball is be going to the nine other players, including the keeper now make 10 or coming back to the bowler? So he's telling Cornwall has to be on there to be agile. If Cornwall can come and make 100 for me, I must, as a captain now, find a place on that field to put him where he wouldn't cost me anything. So that's
let me ask you a question.
Excuse not to pick.
Let me ask
a
question.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Gale is our biggest batman for the last how many years, right? You tell me how fast Gale can run. Where did I put Gale?
They must find a place for Gale to feel, and West Indies did it and won two World Cups. We won two World Cups with Gale with a nickname Crampy. Y'all remember? That's a nickname. So you're telling me we cannot replace Gale with a Cornwall? I'm not saying that Cornwall is a Gale, but he can hit far just like Gale, and you find a space in the field for him. If this is the excuse the selectors are using to keep up Cornwall, permit me. It is hog wash.
He must be 360. He must be 360, which is ridiculous. Anyway, I started
in 360 my foot.
What does a 360 mean? What does a 360 mean?
Mean that you must be able
well,
to
well,
run.
Well, you have to be good in
full
every
circle,
department.
360
every
degrees.
Full circle. You got to be
the full circle.
Good in fielding, good in bowling, good in batting, good in catching. No, you have to be patient with people. Sterling's going to play for Ireland. Sterling is much smaller than Cornwall.
No.
But we go on in best of all at the top. So we're saying foolish if we agree with that.
Okay. Listen to me. As I tell you guys, ICC, India Premier League, IPL, believe you, someone on this team will pick him. And when they pick him,
he's going to be
you will see West.
Yeah, I see. So. He's going to be
you're going to understand what West Indies couldn't see, what these other people see. And that's why I can't get. He didn't lose the weight. He didn't lose this. And all of a sudden now they want to have him as like, you know something? We got to pick him. How you want to pick him now? Is that the same person?
Leon?
Yes, sir. Go ahead,
Dennis. Two examples of cricketers who were considered heavier than others who contributed a great deal to cricket in the past. And Colin Milburn of Northampton comes to mind. And also Colin Cowdrey. Colin Cowdrey was not exactly slim and lithe. He was quite a
David Boone of Australia.
David Boone,
right.
Yeah. Let us remember we're talking about different formats now. No, I'm not saying I wouldn't pick on one.
No, but you still have to feel it.
I've never
seen Cornwall walk off of a field because he is not fit. Have you ever seen that? And he's going to come here and play in the U.S. Open, and I guarantee he's going to dominate. I'm going to try to be here to come and teach you.
Just batted 20 over. When he played the test match, he bowled 30-something or 40-something over. What more do you want from the young man? And he give you runs and he give you a wicket. What more do you... Because look at Cornwall is a bowler who can bat. Playing with Barbados. Barbados bat first. Barbados lose the game.
And has one of the safest hands in the business.
This man don't even bowl one ball. A bowler who can bat.
Of hands. The guy who won the safest pair of hands. Seldom he drops a catch. I remember seeing him drop once. The very first wicket I think he took was when he bowled on Claude Gayle. Yeah, I remember when he bowled on Claude Gayle years ago.
Yes.
Gayle was sharp.
He will get his chance. Because one thing I tell him, I said, "Boss, don't give up. Just push us. Keep on doing what you do best." And he can do that. And he keep on doing that.
Folks, let me just hear Jetna and Simon. Jetna, come on in, say hello to us. We're longing to hear from you. We wondered if you were taken by the storm.
Good evening, everybody. We were fortunate that we did not get any bad weather
hurricane on
our side. I mean, there was a wind and a lot of rain, but... not much damage and all that. But we are all good. Thank you so very much. And it's a great show. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Simon, the folks want to hear from you, Simon.
I was listening all the talented men and ladies know the game so well. Now I just want to say good evening to everyone and hope everyone had a wonderful week last week, hoping for a much better week this week. And I see that... Virgil is very, very interested in getting Cornwall into the game, but Cornwall has his place in the game. I'll go along with Virgil. Has a place in the game.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, now I'll go along with him.
So back to where we were. Anybody else? Jetin, do you want to discuss the World Cup? Anybody? Do we have any?
Well, the cash situation is there for West Indies for sure, I will say, because looking at these Namibia, Netherlands, and some of this new team who wants to make some noise in the world cricket, it's going to take their chances. And let's get ready for some of the big upsets in this World Cup. The reason for that, you don't want to go with the world confidence like the Sri Lanka did. They are recently Asia Cup champion. And they took it lightly, the Namibia. But the Namibia had a different ball game. They did not expect. And they run for every single possible, every opportunity. They score. And Sri Lanka did not manage to stop them. For the West Indies, our main concern, the few things has to happen. The West Indies has to understand this is the critical stage. If you don't succeed here, you're going nowhere. And that was exactly they had in a World Cup too last time when the Chris Gayle was there. And if you recall, it was a Zimbabwe was out at DL Mathur, give a chance to West Indies to go up. Otherwise, it was critical. It's the same story here. Any player can win the game. That is how these T20s are now. It's not about who is this player or which country he's playing. It's all it takes is about 90 minutes of good luck, and you can rescue the team and have victory for your team counted. But to do it, you need to have an overall team performance. And that is what the West Indies is going to need. Are they going to play together as a team? It does not matter who makes the team and who laps out. It does not matter who is batting at certain number or who is bowling. It's all about, are they playing together as a one unit? Yep. And that is the missing component for last many years, because every player is thinking about their own way, own performance, which is carried over from these money jackpots they get from the T20s. And if it is continued, like this is another platform, I'll do something so my price tag can go up, then good luck. You're going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And that is the main concern for this West Indies team.
Mm-hmm. Work it.
Minister, and let me just say this. And now, West Indies have got to watch the running between the wickets. They need to pick up the singles. Running between the wickets is key. And I'm hoping that nobody get a critical run out tonight or whenever. Run between the wicket. Don't just think you every ball or every time you must hit a six or hit a boundary. I see Namibia get the twos and the threes. And that's what Sri Lanka could not curb. And when the chance come, they will put away those balls over the boundary. So West Indies have got to think about that, running between the wicket, and don't get run out. So, anyone else want to come in?
Leon, today I was watching the finals of the legend there. And when you look at the Canadians, right, Team Canada, they were, yesterday, first of all, the Indians, they weren't, I know they are not the 25 and the 30-year-olds out there, you know, guys are 45 plus and stuff like that. But they weren't running, they weren't taking the turning the ones in the twos.
When you look at the Canadians,
every chance they run the first one very fast, and the player just have to make one fumble, and they're back for the second. You said they are always looking for a second run, and that's a big difference. When you're batting, you and your partner have to talk about it and say, "Come on, we're gonna run the first one very fast. And the thing we can make the second, we're going for the second. And by doing that, you put. So when I look at the Canadians, they were really turning a lot of what would have been one for the Indians that had batted before. They turn it into two, and they run again. It's another two, and just like that, and they won on a canter. It's like, you know, they romp home easily. So that running between the wickets is very critical.
Early on, we talked about the death of Bruce Pardew. You guys, anybody recall this guy?
I've never heard of him before.
You never heard him?
Yes. No, I've never heard of him.
I always heard my dad talk about that guy, Pardew.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one that make a century debut against India. He make his 105, I think it was. I remember young that he was a little guy, and he was a keeper, wicket keeper, but he passed along the way.
Maybe I looking up on me because I might have him in my book it's not every cricketer I'm gonna get. Sometimes you check one website, you don't show it, you check another one, and there it is, you know.
So, he was 91 years old, so he was a long time before.
So he's just older than Joe Solomon. I think Joe Solomon is now the oldest living West Indian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much. Yeah, okay. Anything else, folks? But he made his debut and he went over to play cricket in New Zealand.
So he played for New Zealand or for the West Indies?
He played for the West Indies, but he played cricket
but
in the league.
Because there's a guy who's a wicketkeeper who he plays for both West Indies and for he played that ring 3 Test matches for one and 5 for the other. The same, he was a wicketkeeper that stumped our spinner Al Valentine to give New Zealand the first win. Yeah, he played for both West Indies and Pakistan.
Never in Northern districts in New Zealand.
Yeah.
He led his team into the Plunkett Shield title. That's what the report is saying there.
So
we just want to offer our condolences to the family of the of him and hope that his soul will rest in peace. Go ahead, Dennis. You have it.
Yeah, I think oddly, Leon mentioned, and of course I've already mentioned, the running between the wickets for the West Indies. But the one point I wanted to bring back is Audley's comments about the Indian running in the over 50s. Leon, Audley has to remember that the Legends tournament was, you had to be past 50 years old to be in that tournament. And there's a degree of health. You may have the enthusiasm, but you may not have the health. So it's difficult for you to pass judgment on the team because they didn't take twos. Simply put, the Indian players may not necessarily have been as healthy as the Canadians.
Canadians.
For whatever reason. Yeah, so for whatever
reason. I did mention anyhow that we're not talking about the 25 and the 30-year-olds. You know, so
right,
we know that everybody's
not.
But there weren't as the Canadians are in the same age group, so
yeah,
it all depends on. Go ahead.
They probably was younger, man. They probably was younger.
No.
They probably
was
a lot younger.
They had to be 50.
No, there's an age limit.
They may all be 50.
But what I'm saying, if it's 45, most of them could be between 45 and 50, and the other team, probably the Indian team, was maybe over 50 to 60. Because
no,
I know some guys there that I know that play West Indies. Some of them guys is 60 and above, and they was playing.
Virgil, the qualification to be in the Legend says you have to be 50 plus. So all of them were 50 plus. The point being, oddly, is that a 50-year-old in, say, Canada may not necessarily have the same level of health as a 50-year-old in the United States or in the West Indies. So you have to accept that they were not as fleet of foot,
I understand that, but I'm just saying the good example to watch the Canadians. Their running was different. I understand what you're saying, and we know I'm not looking for some Usain Bolt. We're not looking for some Usain Bolt, but I don't think they were looking for the second one. Gone many times when where the ball
they
went,
they
could have
it.
Easily. Taking two, but it's just one.
They probably weren't healthy enough to make it.
I got your point.
You know, but it's enthusiasm for the game, and that's what we'd like to see, you know.
Yeah.
That's why you and me, I mean, Mr. Pardo, as Liam was telling us there, I mean, his exploits occurred, I would imagine, just about the time I was still in diaper. You know, so, you know, the point is, there is a level of health. And I give those guys credit because they're enthusiastic.
I accept that. But I was just saying that as a good example, you know, that the West Indies team could learn from. When we look at those guys that were turned into ones, into twos. You know?
Netherlands last night, did that. Remember, just for the listeners
out there, since we were not too sure about the West Indies 15, Dennis will send it to you, or they send it to you. If you can permit me, I'm just saying for the listeners out there.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, West Indies 15 in the World Cup 11-2022. Nicholas Ford, captain, Ravman Powell, Yannick Carrier, Johnson Charles,
yeah.
Sheldon Hill, Jason Holder, Akeel Hussain, Azawi Joseph, Brandon King, Elvin Lewis, Kyle Mayer, Obed McCoy, Raymond Weaver, Odin Smith, Shama Brooks.
I didn't have Lewis in my squad, so I must have
omitted that one. The listeners have it too. Everybody has it, so we can go on.
Yeah, but we did that last week, and we did it the week before. We gave it the whole team the week before. We have it here too. But let's do this. Let's bring in Donna. Donna, say okay. Dennis, prepare for the summary. Donna, we wanted you to say your piece. Anything on your mind that you wanted to share with us before we ask Dennis to do it?
At this point, I just want to wish West Indies all the best tonight. I'm going to try my best to look at the game. But I know me. If they're not going in my likeness, I'm going after sleep.
No, don't do that.
Tell me, Donna.
Donna, just keep your tissue close. Keep your tissue close to your hand.
Yeah.
I
just want them to do the best, but if they're not doing the best, I don't know. I can't take heartache, so.
Donna.
That's
Donna.
Yeah? Kevin Lewis played for the Patriots, right? Would you pick him tonight?
I wouldn't play Lewis. Lewis has been failing now for the last whatever, I don't know. No, I wouldn't. And he played in one of the matches and failed. One of the warm-ups.
I'm glad. And you're a Patriots supporter, and you say no for me. Well, would you play Cornwall ahead of him?
Cornwall should have been in the quad.
All right.
I don't care
whatever. You have spoken a mouthful. Best all night.
Dennis, your summary.
Hello.
Give us a summary.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We started the show tonight with two guests who had to make who came at that time because that was convenient for them. Dr. Gangaram Singh and, of course, Mr. Jimmy Ankosaria. And here we discuss the fortunes, or if I might put it that way, of the San Diego Surf Riders minor league team and, of course, insights and advice and suggestions about the major and the minor league tournaments that's coming up in next season. And we were well informed by these two gentlemen who've been guests of ours before, and so we enjoyed their input into the show. We did look at the financial issues being faced by Cricket USA, and that also came up in subsequent discussion we had with Qureshi, Mr. Qureshi, and we mentioned the CG United Cricket West Indies announcing the Super 50 Cup is on tap again for this year, and we remember well the Super 50s of 1 year ago, where Pollard, Bravo, Pooran were consistent, disciplined, and performed well. Let's see if they can take some of that into the T20, although Pollard and Bravo aren't there this year, but maybe Pooran can, you know, recreate his performance. We mentioned the banned cricketers, the fact that corruption in cricket because of the amount of money in cricket these days, corruption is still nibbling around the edges. And the ICC, when they find it, they investigate and they do take action by banning one player for 14 years, one for four, and one for four. Players of the month nominated previously, we noted those who were actually eventually voted players of the month. And we had discussion around the T20 World Cup, which has kicked off in fine form, very interesting matches. And this just gives us the level of excitement that we can probably anticipate for the World Cup to come. West Indies will play tonight at 12 Eastern time zone. If you can stay up for it, catch it otherwise on the replay tomorrow. And we obviously corrected my T20 World Cup squad for the West Indies. And that was the sum of it. A lot of contributions all around, such that we weren't able to take Simon's question this week, but I'm sure he'll make up for that next week with two sets of questions. And back to you, Leon.
Okay, let's bring in Jetsna to say her final words. And Simon, I'm going to ask you to send everybody home after Jetsna, please.
All right. Good night. Good night, everybody. It was a great show again. And be safe. Take care. And all the best for West Indies. And condolences to family who lost a family member. Sorry about that.
Indeed.
So see you
Simon,
next Sunday.
Thank you.
Simon, it's yours. The floor is yours.
And it was a great show as usual. And quite a lot to be learned, quite a lot to think about. And I want everyone to stay safe. And we'll see everyone back here next week, Sunday, at 6 o'clock. Have a wonderful week, all, and be safe. Have a good night. Goodbye. God bless you all.
Yes, indeed.
Leon,
we want to thank all the participants. Go ahead.
Leon, one thing I failed to mention, and I guess I'll take the time to do so now. We should thank Mr. Qureshi for coming by giving us a lot of information about Cricket Council and cricket. And, of course, finally, we must remember that there is a secret being kept about Saturday mornings. When you have a Saturday morning, first thing you do when you wake up, get your cup of coffee and sit ready for the Saturday morning entertainment show. This is your premier entertainment on Saturdays at 6 a.m. in the morning, hosted by Ivor Henry and others. And of course, as one listener put it, the Saturday morning entertainment show is the most awesomest show on radio on a Saturday morning. Caribbean Global Voices at the Blog Talk Radio platform. Call them 563-999-3693. Thanks, Leon.
And I couldn't get in on Saturday to give my piece at all because Chelsea was on top. And now today, Liverpool won today. Imagine. They won. They won. They nearly played more matches than they won. Can you hear that, Liverpool? You understand me? Okay, folks. Thanks a lot.
Just a small correction, Leon. Just a small correction. Mr. Heat did say join at 6 o'clock. I know he's in California.
Oh.
So you're joining at 9 to 12. Yeah. 6 a.m. in California time. But over here, Eastern Standard Time, 9 to 12.
Yes, 6 a.m. Thank you.
Oh,
9 a.m.
Got it all. And thanks a lot. Wonderful show. Thanks a lot to all the participants. It was great. But let's rally around the West Indies. And thanks again. Have a great evening. Remember the match starts tonight at midnight.
Midnight.
Good night all.
Good night all.